how His grace. Amara Indra Prabhuji. Today we are fortunate to have His grace, Amarendra Prabhuji, to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Ganga Mata Goswamini. Hare Krishna, Amarendra Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning, Prabhuji. I would like to hand our call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಃ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರೋಃ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹ ಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯ. ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೆಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಣೆ. ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ್ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ್ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಲಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು for kindly inviting me on the call. My special heartfelt gratitude to Her Grace Shyama Gauri Mataji for very kindly and very affectionately inviting me for this service. Very exalted senior Vaishnavas come and share their realizations on this forum. I am actually just aspiring to be their servant. When I see the names of other speakers on the forum, I feel very ashamed of myself and very unworthy and unqualified. But the way to purify ourselves is by serving the Vaishnavas. And if this is the service that Krishna wants to churn out of me this morning, then so be it. All of you, please kindly offer your blessings and prayers. May the right words come at the right time, in the right spirit of service, in the glorification of the Vaishnavas, in the glorification of Sri Hari. May this bring in supreme satisfaction and fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment to our ear. And at the same time, may this bring in the cleansing of our consciousness. This being the only intention, let us begin. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೆಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ್ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ್ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಸ್ಟ್ರೊಲಾಜಿಕಲಿ ಇನ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್. ಟುಡೇ ಟುಮಾರೋ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡೇಸ್, ವೆರಿ ಹೈಲಿ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುಲಿ ಬೆನಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್ ಡೇಸ್ ಟು ಇನ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಇನ್. Tomorrow is the Nirjala Ekadashi, the Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi, the Bhima Ekadashi that devotees look forward to every year. In fact, every Ekadashi is glorious. Every Ekadashi is Hari Vasini, the place, the day when Hari lives in full potency. And Hari Vasaraha, the day of Shri Hari, Madhava Tithi, the day of Madhava, Bhakti Janani, the mother of Bhakti. In fact, in the Garga Samhita, there are sections glorifying Ekadashi Tithi. Sections. So anybody who feels that on the day of Ekadashi, oh, I cannot eat this today, oh, I cannot eat that today, we sincerely have to introspect. Have we come into this human form to eat? Is that the highest pleasure that we know? We should eat to be alive. We should eat to perform bhakti. We should accept prasad to feel healthy and rejuvenated and not tired. But not that we live our lives on the basis of food, on the basis of prasad, on the basis of the taste of the tongue. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jibha vegam udara upastha vegam etan vegan yo vishahita dhira sarvam api man pratibim. The first teaching of Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita is to control the tongue, whether it is through unwanted speaking, whether it is through unwanted and not so needed eating. So on the day of Ekadashi, we should tell ourselves, this is the day of complete absorption. We may feel hungry, so on Ekadashis we can have little water, we can have little fruits, but not that we imagine pizzas and pastas and whatnot. It's the day of complete absorption. In our mind, in our heart, we should have only Radha and Krishna and Shachinandan Gaurahari and Gurudev. Nothing else. Complete absorption. Every 2 weeks, we are 14 days, 2 weeks. We are completely busy in grihastha activities, taking care of children, taking care of work, taking care of our body, taking care of family, taking care of home. At least one day, every 2 weeks, we can give in taking care of the soul. Atmanam sarvato rakshet. Srila Prabhupada would use this sutra again and again, especially in his morning walks. So many times we can hear. Whenever people would talk about the body, Srila Prabhupada would say, but Atmanam sarvato rakshet. First of all, protection must be given to the soul. And Srila Prabhupada would give the example in his books that what is the use of cleaning the cage and making the bird in the cage fast? The bird in the cage must be fed, even if the cage is not well taken care of. Which means the cage is this body and the bird is the soul. If we simply think about pampering and taking care of this body, but what about taking care of the soul? What about giving protection and giving nourishment to the soul? The body is nourished by eating and sleeping. The body is rejuvenated by proper diet. But what about the diet for the soul, which is hearing and chanting about Krishna? So Ekadashi is the day to actually go deeper in feeding the soul. We are spending 2 weeks feeding the body, and as a result, feeding the soul may take a back seat in prominence. It may not be given enough prominence. But on the day of Ekadashi, every minute, every hour, we are accountable. We have to chant. We have to hear. We have to read. We have to serve Tulsi. We have to pray. It's possible, Krishna, this could be my last Ekadashi. It's possible I may not survive another Ekadashi. This is how we should think, with enthusiasm, with eagerness, with complete dedication, that every Ekadashi is my last Ekadashi. In the Narayaniyam, the very great Acharya Melpathur Narayana Bhattadri has written towards the end of the Narayaniyam that there are eight things in Kali Yuga which act as boat to take the suffering, drowning, conditioned soul across the ocean of birth and death. There are eight boats in Kali Yuga which take the jiva across the ocean of suffering. What are the eight boats? He mentions Ekadashi as one of them. Ekadashi. Worship of Tulsi is the second. Worshipping the deities is the third. Chanting the holy name is the fourth, which means chanting the Diksha mantras also, the Gayatri mantras also. For those who are initiated into the Gayatri Mantra, that's the fourth. Fifth is studying the scriptures headed by Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Sixth is serving Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Seventh is Gopi Chandan, Tilak, to anoint our body, to decorate our body with Gopi Chandan, with Tilak. Very important. It's an expression of devotion. It's an expression of love to Krishna. Just like we see in Vedic culture, the woman who is duly well is wed in marriage to a husband, she has some signs of her chastity, whether it's the Mangalsutra on the neck or whether it's the sindoor on the forehead. So similarly for a Vaishnava, the fact that he has given his heart and soul to Krishna, there are some signs. He has the Mangalsutra of Kantimala, and he has the sindoor of his tilak. To show that I am eternally married to Krishna. I have sold myself to Krishna. And that's the seventh. And the eighth is taking shelter of the holy abode, whether it is Vrindavan, whether it's Navadvip, whether it's Mayapur, whether it's Gurvayur, the great places where the Supreme Lord has performed pastimes. So in this way, many things have been mentioned. Ekadashi has been mentioned. Tulsi has been mentioned. Service to Guru, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas has been mentioned. Chanting the holy name, chanting the Diksha Mantra, studying Gita, studying Bhagavatam has been mentioned. So these things we should have complete enthusiasm. Bhakti anukula, karjera shrikar. Bhakti pratikula, borjan angikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, what is favorable, my Lord, in attainment of your lotus feet? I will accept that with a lot of enthusiasm. And that which is detrimental, I will give it up without a second thought. And in this way, dainya atma nivedana, goptritve varan, avashya rakshibe krishna vishvasa palan, shadanga sharanagati hoive jahar, tahara prarthana sune Srinanda Kumar. Accepting what is favorable in the attainment of the lotus feet of Sri Hari, and giving up what is detrimental, always being humble, accepting Krishna's protection, accepting Krishna as our only maintainer. In this way, being completely absorbed in total surrender, when we offer prayers, then Krishna listens to our prayers. So we were mentioning, tomorrow is that holy Tithi of Ekadashi. So it's good for us to mentally start preparing from today. What are the things I'm going to do tomorrow? And how I'm not going to waste my time? Unless it is really needed, I'm not going to open my mouth and talk anything. I'm going to just chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas to the best that I can. And study Bhagavatam, study Bhagavad Gita, worship my deities with Ganga water and Tulsi leaves. Give them a nice bath and pray to them, circumambulate to them. In this way, completely being absorbed. That's tomorrow. And what about today? Today is Ganga Puja. Today is the Dasera Tithi, the Dashami Tithi of Ganga Devi's appearance. Today is also the disappearance day of the very great Tattva Siddhanta and Rasa Acharya of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Rupanuga line, Rupanuga Parampara, that is Sripad Baladev Vidyabhushan, his disappearance day. How much he has contributed to our community of Vaishnavas in the present generation that we reap benefit out of, we can't even estimate. In fact, that's a discussion. He deserves 2-3 hours of discussion just to elaborate on different contributions, literary contributions of Sripad Baladev Vidyabhushan. But apart from that, today also marks the disappearance tithi, the departure day, the day of disappearance of a very great Acharya by the name Ganga Mata Goswamini. And I've been instructed to speak on this topic today. So I would like to speak a few words in the next 1 hour or so on her life. It's very important that we hear about the life of great Acharyas. Sometimes people may even have this question, but we are supposed to hear about Krishna. Why are we spending like a whole hour discussing the life of devotees? Well, it's because since ancient times, we have seen that devotees have relished, cherished, and dived deep in swimming into the nectarian glories of other devotees, other great Vaishnavas. Not superficially just saying, oh, you are so great, or I am your servant, or there's nobody like you. Not like that. But really valuing the contribution of that Vaishnava with all our heart, understanding how they live their lives, how I am not able to live my life in devotion, how I am not able to be completely steadfast and determined and dedicated on my path. And I give so many excuses. If I'm told to chant, I give excuses. If I'm told to read, I give excuses. If I'm told to fast, I give excuses. If I'm told to serve, I give excuses. And I always find the path of least resistance. I find the path of ease and comfort where there's less sacrifice and less discomfort. But when we hear the pastimes of these great Acharyas, it gives a lot of joy to our heart, a lot of hope, a lot of inspiration, a lot of motivation, a lot of inspiration. We see in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, the Supreme Lord appears rarely, only at some junction points. But then throughout, we see the glories of great personalities like Dhruva Maharaj being sung. There's more description of Dhruva Maharaj's austerity, there's more description of Dhruva Maharaj's devotion than the appearance of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is just appearing at the end of it. But it's mainly the glories of Dhruva Maharaj's character and his uncompromised devotion. Same goes with all the cantos. What to speak of the seventh canto? It's one of the longest, elaborate descriptions of the life of a Vaishnava. That's Prahlad Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto, Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. Same story. Narsingadeva appears only in the ninth, in the eighth chapter, and there are prayers in the ninth chapter. But what about the first seven chapters? The first seven chapters of the seventh canto just talk about Hiranyakashipu's atrocities and Prahlad Maharaj's tolerance, Prahlad Maharaj's compassion, Prahlad Maharaj's humility, Prahlad Maharaj's forgiveness against all odds of all the reversals that he is facing without holding any revenge or any grudge in his heart, Prahlad Maharaj's constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord, even when he's tossed into fire and thrown from the top of the cliff, and when he's smothered and completely pushed in a pit of hungry cobras, or at the feet of the stampede of maddened elephants. He's just tolerating and chanting the holy name, depending on the protection of the Supreme Lord. And this is the central theme of the discussion of the seventh canto. In the Mahabharata, Krishna's coming at junction points, but it mainly talks about and discusses and deals with the life of the Pandavas, the surrender of Draupadi, the surrender of Kunti, the surrender of the five brothers, how much they had to go through, how much hardship they had to go through. Vishad Mahagne Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Krichrata. It has been described by Kunti Devi in her prayers. My Lord, we had to face so much, whether it is Bhimsen being administered poison, or whether it is the house, the palace being, the lakh palace being set on fire, or whether it's the cannibals that we faced in the middle of the forest, or whether it's the disrobing of Draupadi, or whether it's going through one forest after another, building huts, being Kshatriyas, made bereft of the fundamental rights to rule. That's the Mahabharata. It's the life of great Acharyas. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Shrutasya pumsam suchira shramasya nanmanjasa suri bhir iditartha tattat gunanu shravanam mukunda padar vindam hridayeshu yesham. In the third canto, this verse has been described that if we get an opportunity to hear about great Vaishnavas, we should give up everything and just sit and hear. Because we never know, never again we may get a chance like that. The ear is meant to hear about Krishna and things related to Krishna. Tulsi Devi, Gurudev, Acharyas, their holy abode. We are supposed to hear about their pastimes in Vrindavan and Navadvip because that's related to Krishna. Pastimes of great Vaishnavas because it's related to Bhakti and Bhagavan. Anything that's not related to Bhakti, not related to Bhagavan, not related to Bhakta, the devotees, we should shun such sound vibration. But if we get chance to hear about great Vaishnavas, then we should be very enthusiastic. And preferably if we get chance to hear from a Vaishnava about Vaishnavas, from a Vaishnavi about Vaishnavas, then we should be very eager. Of course, in this assembly, that's not possible. I am not a Vaishnava. But by your blessings and your prayer, one day I may, in some lifetime. Because Vaishnav means someone who has completely sold himself out at the lotus feet of Vishnu or Sri Krishna. Such a person is called Vaishnav. But till then, we are only Vaishnav Abhas, Chaya, the reflection or a shadow of Vaishnavism. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how eager he was to hear about devotion from a devotee like Ramananda Rai. Prabhu kahe aage kaho, shunite paaye shukhe. Apurva amrita nadi vahe tara mukhe. Rai kahe iha ami kichho nahi jani. Tumi je kaho shei kahe ami vani. Ridaya prerna karo jivaye kaho vani. Ki kahe bhalo manda kichho nahi jani. Prabhu kahe mayavadi ami to sanyasi. Bhakti tattva nahi jani mayavadi bhashi. Sarvabhauma sange mora mana nirmal hoila. Bhakti Krishna bhakti tattva jaha tahate puchila. Teho kahe আমি নাহি জানি কৃষ্ণ কথা, সবে রামানন্দ জানে, দেহ নাহি এথা। ইন দ্য চৈতন্য চরিতামৃত ইট হ্যাজ বিন ডিসক্রাইব দ্যাট মহাপ্রভু ইজ সো ইগার টু স্পিক টু রামানন্দ রায়। হি ইজ সেইং দ্যাট ও রামানন্দ রায়, হোয়াট এভার ইউ আর স্পিকিং প্লিজ ডোন্ট স্টপ, কন্টিনিউ স্পিকিং। অপূর্ব অমৃত নদী বহে তার মুখে, আনপ্রেসিডেন্টেড নেকটেরিয়ান রিভার অফ ambrosial nectar is streaming from your mouth. Please don't stop. And that Ramananda Rai says, he doesn't say, yes, what you're saying is right, my Lord. Nectar is streaming from my mouth. He's not even agreeing. Ramananda Rai says, Ami kichu nahi jani, Prabhu. Rai kohe iha Ami kichu nahi jani. What you're saying is just your perspective, O Lord. I don't know anything. Tumi je kaho she kahi Ami mani. Whatever you are inspiring me, whatever you are speaking, tumi vakta prabhu tumi shrotav, you are the speaker and you are the listener, you are speaking through me and you are only listening. Hridaye prerana karo jivhai karo vani, you are inspiring me in my heart and making me speak through the tongue. Ki kahiye bhalo mando kichu nahi jani, I don't even know what I'm speaking, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know how it's coming from my mouth. Prabhu said, how can I inspire? প্রভু কহে মায়াবাদী আমি তো সন্ন্যাসী, আই এম মায়াবাদী সন্ন্যাসী, ভক্তি তত্ত্ব নাহি জানি মায়াবাদ ভাষী, আই এম ওনলি ফ্লোটিং ইন মায়াবাদ ইম্পার্সনালিজম, হোয়াট ক্যান আই ইন্সপায়ার ইউ। ইন ফ্যাক্ট মহাপ্রভু সেজ সার্বভৌম সঙ্গে মোর মন নির্মল হইল, ইন দি অ্যাসোসিয়েশন অফ সার্বভৌম ভট্টাচার্য মাই মাইন্ড বিকেম পিউরিফাইড। সার্বভৌম ভট্টাচার্য ওয়াজ আপলিফটেড বাই মহাপ্রভু। Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a grihastha. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was preached to by Nimai Vishwambar and made into a devotee. And look at the humility of Mahaprabhu. He's saying, Sarvabhauma Sange Mora Mana Nirmal Hoila. Actually, my mind became purified in his association. And Krishna Bhakti Tattva Nahi Jani. Therefore, Tahate Puchila. I don't know anything. I asked him. And he said, Ami Nahi Jani Krishna Katha. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, I don't know. Shabe Ramananda Jani, go and ask Ramananda Rai. Teho nahi etha, he is not here. You'll have to go and ask him. He knows everything. Mahaprabhu says, therefore I have come to you, O Ramananda Rai. I went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and I asked him that you are purifying my heart, please speak Krishna Katha. And he humbly said, I don't know anything. Ramananda Rai knows everything. And now when I come to you, nectar is streaming from your mouth. Please keep it going. So this should be the enthusiasm, to hear about devotees from devotees. So let us hear about the glorious, unparalleled life of Ganga Mata Goswamini. She lived about 460 years ago. Very, very wonderful example of devotion. It has been described that her appearance was in a province called Rajshahi in Bangladesh, the present-day Bangladesh. Her father's name was Naresh Narayan. He was a king. She was born to a king as a daughter. Very, very great, very wealthy, very influential, very wonderful family. She was pampered with luxury and opulence right from childhood, and she was the only child. So Naresh Narayan, who was the king, had a very loving, affectionate, devotional wife, and their only daughter was Shachi Devi, later to be known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. But her birth name was Shachi Devi, the same as the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same name. Right from childhood, she was taught Sanskrit grammar, Vyakarana, Kavya, etc., poetry, and the different alankars in Sanskrit grammar. And very quickly, she learned all of that. And when she came to a point where she started to read and understand everything nicely, completely intoxicated and maddened by Krishna, she started reading only devotional books. She was not interested in reading anything else. Only that which brings her closer to the remembrance of Krishna is what she would read. And as she was reading scriptures and as she was being attracted to Krishna, the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar situated himself in the lotus petal of her heart. Although she was the only heir to the throne, she was the princess, the future queen. She had given her heart to a Vaishya, that is Krishna, She had given some, her heart to a gopa, the son of Nanda and Yashoda, Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. As she was a little child, she would be attracted to Madan Gopal. And then as she started growing up, her parents were thinking of getting her married to a very qualified man. They would discuss with her about her marriage, and she was not very interested. Many qualified men came ahead. They petitioned her hand in marriage, and the parents decided now is a very good time for marriage. Let's talk to her. They spoke to Sachi Devi about her marriage thoughts and decisions about marriage. Sachi Devi exclaimed that, "Yes, I'm ready to marry, but my condition is I will only marry someone who will not die. Someone. I want a husband who will never leave me. Husband who will never get old, who will always be young, who's not going to die, which means I want someone who's not born." Because Jatasya hi Dhruvam Mrityu Dhruvam Janma Mrityasya cha. The word Dhruva has come twice in two lines in the verse of Bhagavad Gita. Birth is certain for someone who dies, and death is certain for someone who's born. So Sachi Devi said, "I want a husband who's not going to die, which means I want someone who's not born." Now, this is a very serious problem for the parents. How are they going to find a person who matches this condition? She was very adamant. And she then started saying, "I won't marry anyone because I'm already married. I've already given my heart to Krishna." They were thinking, what's going to happen of her? Once they leave their body, well, who's going to take care of her? And she's the only girl. They don't have a boy. And she's going to become the queen. And she's going to inherit everything. But if she doesn't have a, what kind of queen is that who doesn't have a king? So all these troubles were tormenting their mind and the consciousness of the parents. And as they were thinking like this, they grew old and they died. And Shachi Devi, she being the queen, she inherited the whole kingdom. She ruled for many years without a king. She performed her designated specific duties very nicely. But then as she was worshipping Krishna, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayityasu Vairagyam Jnanam Yaccha Ahaitukam. The nature of devotion is that very quickly renunciation comes up. One doesn't like to live in big homes. One doesn't like to be very opulent. One doesn't like gadgets. One doesn't like opulent dressing and opulent food and honor and recognition and respect given by others, because these symptoms are actually the symptoms of disease state, of conditioned material madness, where one desires opulence. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Paritachetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhau Na Vidhiyate. That when we are very interested in material enjoyment, when we are very interested in opulent, luxurious, very rich lifestyle, then amidst gratification of senses and glorification of the mind and intellect, there is no time and there's no energy and there's no spirit of service in seeking out the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Janmaishwarya Shrutashri Bhi Edamana Madapuman Naivarhati Abhidhatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. Even Queen Kunti has said, very aristocratic birth, high learning, very opulent richness, and exquisite features and beauty of the body. These four are detrimental thorns on the path of bhakti. Because one can get proud of one's erudite scholarship or aristocratic birth or very beautiful, handsome features or the luxury of being very rich. So although she was there amidst all of this, this is not what she was looking for. Her heart was yearning and pumping to go and live in the streets of Vrindavan and Navadvip, to live in complete destitute poverty, calling out to Krishna moment to moment. So although she was the queen, very quickly she designated all her duties to her relatives and told them that, "I am actually going out to inspect the kingdom and look out on what the citizens are doing. I'm going to do an incognito." Kings would do that in the past. They would change their outfit, they would change their dressing, they would change their garments, and they would go out in incognito, which means, undercover. They would not go as kings. They would just go as a citizen, hide themselves, change their appearance, and go around and see who's doing what and how the shopkeepers, whether they're truthful, whether they're profit-oriented and exploitative. How's the kingdom doing? So she said, "I'm just going out to inspect." And she gave all her duties to her relatives and said, "You rule for some time. I will just go around, make a trip, and come back." And they agreed. And as she gave all her duties and kingdom to her relatives, she escaped. She escaped from the shackles of entanglement. Of course, she was not entangled. She was like a spider who was making the web of her duties but still not being attached. You can see in this world there are two kinds of insects. One is the silkworm, which makes its cocoon and makes it so well and so well and so well that now it forgets to make a door or a space through which it can come out. So it makes a cocoon and gets trapped in its own cocoon and dies. This is a natural phenomenon. It struggles. It's made so well that it can't escape its own cocoon. It struggles and tries to push through the corners, but it can't get out of its own cocoon and it dies. But on the other hand, we see spiders. It makes very wonderful webs. And as it makes its web, the webs are very, very intricate and very complex and very complicated. Yet at the same time, the spider doesn't get caught. It walks around the web tiptoe and it can leave the web whenever it wants. So this is the difference between a griha-medhi and a grihastha. A griha-medhi is someone whose medha, whose intellect is only in the household affair. And that is like the silkworm who gets stuck up in the cocoon of his own griha-medhi or household affair. But on the other hand, a grihastha, someone who is Krishna-centric, even in family life, is like a spider. He may make his own complicated, complex web of household affair, but yet at the same time, he's not stuck. He can move out and take to the next vanaprastha life and then even sannyas later. So she was like that. She had all the responsibilities on her. She was the queen. She was the only heir to the throne, and she inherited that with so much dignity and honor. She did everything, but like a spider, she was not bound by any of those entanglements. She walked out, and as she escaped, she went for pilgrimage. She went to so many places, wondering for guru. Who is that qualified guru who can teach her the path of attaining the lotus feet of Krishna? And then finally, being from Bangladesh, it was very easy for her to go to Jagannath Puri. She came to Jagannath Puri because she wanted to place her heart at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, because Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the universe. She came there to Jagannath Puri and offered her obeisances to Jagannath, and she would cry in front of Jagannath that you are the Lord of the universe, O Jagannath. Jagabandhu he Gosai, tumar charana binu ara gati nai. You are the Lord of the universe, O Jagannath, and I'm simply a resident of this universe. If you, as the king of this universe, doesn't help the resident, where will this resident go? I may be unqualified, but if you reject me, where will I go? I have nobody except you. So she would cry like that. And Jagannath reciprocated to her prayers and in her dream inspired her. You should go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan by foot. And there you will find a very great devotee by the name Haridas Pandit Goswami. He is your guru. He is complete and perfect in all Vaishnav qualities. And he's your spiritual master. You should go and surrender your life to Haridas Pandit Goswami. So taking this instruction of Jagannath in the core of her heart and taking the lotus feet of Jagannath on her head, Shachi Devi, she walked. She who came from Bangladesh walked to Jagannath Puri, now walked from Jagannath Puri all the way to Vrindavan. And as she came to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, she met Haridas Pandit. And what were the qualities of Haridas Pandit? Sushila Sahishnu Shanta Vadanya Gambhir Madhura Vachana Madhur Cheshta Mahadhir. Sushila, he was of excellent character. Sahishnu, he was tolerant. Shanta, he was very blissful and peaceful. Vadanya, he was very magnanimous and merciful. Gambhir, yet at the same time, he was very grave. Madhura Vachan, his words were articulated so wonderfully with a lot of sweetness and a lot of meaning. And Madhura Chesta, his activities were also that of affection. And Sabara Sammana Karta Karen Sabar Hid Kutilya Matsarya Himsa Na Jane Jarchit. Kaviraj Goswami says, Sabara Samman Karta. He would show his mercy and he would bow down in respect to everyone. And Karen Sabar Hit, and he would always think of doing good to everyone. Kautilya, crookedness, Matsarya, envy, Himsa, violence, Na Jane Jarchit. His heart did not know what crookedness or duplicity is. His heart did not know what envy was. His heart did not know what Himsa or violence towards others is. Krishnera je sadhanar sab guna panchas. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes whatever 50 prominent qualities Krishna has. Krishna je sadharan shad guna panchas. 50. She shabar guner tar sharira nivas. All those qualities lived in the body of Haridas Shastri, Haridas Pandit Goswami. Krishna's qualities lived in him, you can imagine. Pandita Goshair Shishya Ananta Acharya Krishna Prema Maya Tanu Udar Sharva Arya. It has been described very wonderfully that Gadadhar Pandit, the incarnation of Radharani, had a disciple by the name Anantacharya. And Anantacharya's disciple was Haridas Pandit Goswami. And Haridas Pandit Goswami was the one to whom Jagannath had sent Shachi Devi for Diksha. It has been described that Haridas Pandit Goswami's qualities were inconceivably qualitative and quantitative. From qualitative and quantitative perspective, they were inconceivable. They were unlimited. But two of his main qualities that are seen. First is Chaitanya Nityananda Tar Parama Vishwas. Chaitanya Charite Tara Parama Ullas. He was a very great devotee of Mahaprabhu. He would always keep talking Gaur Leela. He would always discuss the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, the second quality was Vaishnavera Guna Grahi Na Dekhaye Dosh Kaya Mana Vakya Kare Vaishnava Santosh. That he was always Vaishnavera Guna Grahi. He would only accept the positive, good qualities of Vaishnavas and Na Dekhaye Dosh. And he would not see anybody's faults. And in this way, Kaya Mana Vakya Kare Vaishnava Santosh. He would only please the Vaishnavas through Kaya, Mana, and Vakya. Through thought, word, and deed. So this is very, very important for us to understand that just like Gadadhar Pandit would never speak any faults of anyone, his disciple Anantacharya never spoke the faults of anyone, and his disciple Haridas Pandit never spoke the faults of anyone. Well, all of us have faults, and we end up spending a major amount of our time just discussing those faults of others, not the self, but others. But we see in the life of great acharyas, they never did that. Like, for example, just as an example, a person could have, let's say, the perfect weight, and he could have lotus petal like eyes, and he could have, let's say, well parted hair, and let's say, even a PhD. And he may have, let's say, a small scratch of a wound on the tip of his little finger. If we neglect all of his good attributes and just discuss about that little wound, not to cure it, but just out of gossip, this is considered to be the mentality of the flies and the crows. The Bhagavatam describes the nature of the crow is such. Na yad vachaschetrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrani takarhichit tadvaya samtir tamushanti manasa na yatra hamsa niramanti ushekshaya. Bhagavatam describes that if there's a garden filled with beautiful, aromatic, fragrant flowers, but if there's little piece of garbage, then the flies and the crows, they just go and sit on that little piece. They neglect the fragrance of all the flowers in the garden and they just go straight to that piece of garbage. So we should not be like that. Just going to the piece of garbage or going to the piece of something that's negative and that's a fault or a flaw in someone. We all have flaws, we all have faults. But then by Krishna's mercy, we also have good qualities, his qualities which reflect. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchane. So we should be more enthusiastic to discuss the good qualities of others, and that's always in prominence. You can see that there are more good qualities in others and very little bad qualities. We all have bad qualities and good qualities, but it's about what we want to accept and what we want to reject. So the two good examples that we can learn lessons from are swans and bumblebees. The bumblebees, you take them to a trash can, they will still find some flower with honey there. And same goes with the swans. The swans, you can take them to a muddy pool, they will not analyze the consistency of the mud, but they will spend time searching for the lotus flowers. That's the nature of the swan. So the swan and the bumblebee, you can give them an ocean of flaws to discuss, but they still go to the essence and discuss the good qualities. But on the other hand, you can see flies and crows. You can take them to a beautiful garden of fragrant flowers, but they will still go and find that little piece of dirt, that little piece of garbage, that little piece of reject that they would relish. And that's all that they want to discuss. So we want to associate with people who are seeing the essence. They are Vaishnavera Gunagrahi Na Dekhaye Dosh. Chaitanya Charitamrita is discussing such beautiful nectar. Vaishnavera Gunagrahi. Haridas Pandit, the guru of Shachi Devi, he would only accept the good qualities of Vaishnavas and Na Dekhaye Dosh, and he would not discuss their flaws. And in this way, Kaya Mana Vakya Kare Vaishnava Santosh, through words, through mind, and through actions, he would only bring in satisfaction to the Vaishnavas. This should be our take home. This should be our introspective lesson of analysis to see how close we are to this level of caliber, to this yardstick. This is the litmus test. This is the yardstick of our advancement. The whole world may say, oh, you're advanced, or you're not advanced. Right? You always have those two categories of people, those who clap and those who criticize. So either way, we should not be swayed away in appreciation or rejection, but actually see Shastra as the only yardstick. So Haridas Pandit, he did not care if a person was full of faults. If someone just chanted the holy name of Krishna once, that's all that he wanted. That's all that he would accept. So you can see even in Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived for 4 months in Srirangam. And at that time, he interacted with the South Indian Brahmana. Very famous story. Who studied the Gita, but he didn't know what he was studying. In a place like Srirangam, which was the high seat of learning, where the Brahmanas were very proud of their expertise of chanting the right meters and right chanting the right pronunciation. It was all about the pronunciation. Amidst that, here was a Brahmana who couldn't even read Dehinosmin Yathadehe properly. And he was crawling his way through the pronunciation, the Sanskrit. He was unaware of the Sanskrit pronunciation, the Sanskrit grammar, and the Sanskrit alphabets. Not that we should be illiterate as devotees. If Krishna gives us a chance, if Krishna gives us an opportunity, it's always nice to be very good examples in all ways possible. But even if that is not there, due to whatever reason that it may be, we still don't lose on devotion because Krishna doesn't see our scholarship. He's not impressed by our scholarship. Krishna's only impressed by the heart, the mood of devotion. So here was this Brahmana crying and weeping, and Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? Are you crying because they're making fun of you? Are you crying because you're not able to read? And if you're not able to read, why are you reading? So the Brahmana said, Vipra kahe murkha ami artha nahi jani, shuddha ashuddha gita padi guru agyamani. The Brahmana said, oh, dear Mahaprabhu, I am reading only because my Gurudev instructed me to read all 700 verses of the Gita every day. This is the only inspiration. This is the only impetus. This is the only stimulus why I am reading. I don't know anything else. Sometimes I'm reading it properly. Sometimes I don't read it properly. I don't know what's happening. Mahaprabhu said, but I see a lump of emotions in your throat, and I see tears streaming from your eyes, and I see your hair standing on end like the thorns on a cactus plant, completely erect. What's happening to your body? So the Brahmana said, I don't know what I'm reading, but in my heart, I'm meditating on that very beautiful bluish black rain filled monsoon cloud like Krishna of Vrindavan, holding the reins of the chariot in his hand and moving according to the dictation of his own devotee, Arjun. Arjuna is saying, turn right, turn left, go here, go there. And Krishna's like a humble menial servant doing that between the two armies. This is melting my heart. I can't imagine how merciful the Supreme Lord is. The one who is an erudite scholar speaking 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita is just a simple, ordinary servant of his own servant. I can't take it. My heart is overflowing with emotions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, you have understood the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And for 4 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associated with only him and not those who could chant proper meters and proper pronunciation. So the point is, Haridas Pandit was like this. He was an exalted, erudite scholar. He knew everything. He was a Shastri. He was a Pandit. But at the same time, Vaishnavera guna grahi na dekhaye dosh. Kaya mana vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. He would not criticize and hear the faults or criticize or even blaspheme through his tongue. And if someone criticized, he would leave the place. This is the culture, dear devotees. This is the culture. We have nothing to do with the flaws of others. If you want to discuss some good qualities about them, then I'm always ready to listen. And that too, if it's related to Krishna. Don't tell me he's a very good driver of the car or, he makes very good coffee or whatever. Well, those are also good qualities. But those which are directly in connection with bhakti and Krishna is what I want to hear. So Haridas Pandit was like that. So when Shachi Devi went to him and started listening and attending his classes, she was very inspired. She met him, and it is described in the scriptures that she gained a lot of inspiration from him. She attended his classes regularly and was very austere. Now you can imagine, Shachi Devi is the queen, but she walks all through, back and forth, goes to Jagannath Puri, now comes to Vrindavan. And here she sees Haridas Pandit, the guru that has been chosen by Jagannath for her. And she falls at his feet and mentions to him that, please give me Diksha. Please save my life. I am stuck in the dark dungeon of this material world, in the prison house of this world. Please liberate me. Please give me some instruction on the path of bhakti. Haridas Pandit thought of testing her. Said, you're actually a queen. You should go back. Don't be in Vrindavan. It's a very tough place. It's a very austere place. You go be a queen. You're born as a queen. Just do your duty. Just keep a deity of Krishna at home and worship him, and that's good for you. You will get all success. Don't come here. This is a very tough place, place of austerity and tapasya. Shachi Devi understood in her heart that her Gurudev was actually testing her. What did she do? She decided, I will live in Vrindavan. I will not go anywhere. I will please my Gurudev. She gave away all her fine ornaments that she came with. She came as a queen, right? So she came with the most excellent clothing, and she came with the most excellent ornaments, which was just natural for queens to wear at home. She came and gave away everything. She just gave away. She didn't sell them. She just gave away on the streets of Vrindavan. She just gave all her ornaments away and her very high-class silken clothing away. And in very simple clothes, in so much humility, she started performing very, very deep, austere, intense bhajan in Vrindavan. She pleased her Gurudev so much that her Gurudev called her and said, I am very pleased with you. I tried to test you, but I just wanted to dissuade you from this path. But I'm very pleased with you. The more I pushed you away, the more closer you came to the path of bhakti. I'm very pleased. So my instruction for you is, I don't want you to have any fixed place of residence in Vrindavan. I just want you to wander. I don't want you to have any place, no roof over your head. I want you to give up your shyness and go beg door to door at the feet of the humble Vrajavasis. I just want you to beg. And when Shachi Devi, the queen, heard this, she became jubilant. She became very, very happy. She said, my Gurudev has accepted me as his servant and he's giving me personal instructions on the path of bhakti. She gave up all her residence. She gave up all her attachments. She gave up all her belongings. And now, like a humble beggar on the street, with a cloth in her hand, she started begging door to door at the feet of the Vaishnavas. And she felt so much happiness, so much jubilation and happiness. If you actually think about it, this is a failure story. This is for a queen to become homeless, without any possession, without any ornaments, without any servants, and to become a servant, go door to door, beg in a foreign land like Vrindavan. It's a failure story. Oftentimes we hear about stories of how someone was selling in Malaysia. There's a very famous story of a man who used to sell tomatoes on the back of his cycle. And then, as he started selling tomatoes on the back of his cycle, he would bike from one place to another selling vegetables like tomatoes. And then the money that he got, then he got a bigger vehicle, and then he accommodated more vegetables, then fruits, and then other things. And then he has now a chain of shopping malls. And it's considered to be a success story. Think about someone who started off from the streets of Mumbai and ended up becoming, let's say, a celebrity or became a multi-millionaire. It's considered to be a success story on the front cover of magazines. And what to speak of this story where someone is born a queen, the only queen, there's no competition. It's not like the Kauravas and the Pandavas are fighting over a kingdom. She's like the only one. And she doesn't even have a spouse or kids to share her wealth with. It's all hers. And she just gives it up. And just to please her Gurudev, she's become a beggar in the streets of Vrindavan, on the streets of Vrindavan, at the feet of the Vaishnavas. Why would she do that? In the sixth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami mentions, Na tathā bhagavān rājan pūyeta tapa-ādibhi yathā kṛṣṇārpita-prāṇa tat-purusha niṣevayā sādhrichīno yayam lokē pantha-kṣema-akuto-bhayam suśīla-sādhavo-yatra Narayana Parayana. Shukadeva Goswami said, the path to get Krishna is very simple. What is it? Yatha Krishnarpita Prana Tatpurusha Nishevaya. We have to serve a person who has offered his heart to Krishna. That person should be Sushila, should be very wonderful, should have exemplary and exceptional character. Sadhava should be a sadhu, and Narayana Parayana should personally be a surrendered soul. And by serving such a person, pantha kshema akuto bhayam, this is the most auspicious path without any fear. Just to find a great soul and sell ourselves at his feet is the path of perfection. And Shachi Devi understood the essence. She became very eager to serve him. So she was hearing Hari Katha and begging all day. And with whatever she got, she would serve her Gurudev and hardly accept anything and chant constantly. Shachi Devi took up to the chanting of 300,000 names of Krishna. That comes to 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, where one mala or one round is 108 beads. So on every bead, you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and move on 108 times. That's one round. And 192 such rounds comes to 300,000 names of Krishna, 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. And she would do that, hearing Hari Katha from her Gurudev and serving with whatever she could. Body became completely emaciated. She became so thin. She would wear only discarded rags for clothing. And she lost all her luster, bodily luster. But still, she was offering obeisances and hearing and chanting the holy name and serving the Vaishnavas, living on the banks of Yamuna, sleeping on the hard floor, under the sky, under the stars. And every day she went to all the Goswami temples in Vrindavan, and she would get her hands and knees on and clean all the temples every day. This was her life. Can you imagine? She left palace, she left clothing, she left ornaments, she left her position, and now is sleeping in discarded rags and robes on the banks of the Yamuna. cleaning Goswami temple. She considered this to be her greatest wealth. Why is this not a failure story? Why is this a success story? Because others, those who go from rags to riches, all that they end up getting is cash, is money, few paper bills. And what did Shachi Devi end up getting? She got the greatest wealth, that is Krishna Prem. Her heart was filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. And anybody who gets ecstatic love for Krishna is the wealthiest person, because he never enters another mother's womb. He escapes material shackles once and for all and becomes eligible and qualified to enter the eternal pastimes of Krishna and have darshan of Radha and Krishna in the eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. This is what she attained. She became a Premi Bhakta. She became the most exalted devotee in society at that point. And Haridas Pandit, her Gurudev, became very pleased. She called for Shachi Devi. And she said, all the Brajbasi, and he said to her, all the Brajbasis are talking only good things about you. They're appreciating your absorption. They're appreciating how you're living so simple and selflessly, without any ulterior motive and hidden agenda, you're serving everybody. I am very pleased. Very, very pleased that you are doing this. After such intense testing, Haridas Pandit said, I have decided now to initiate you. So till now, he had not even initiated her. He was just testing her to see how dedicated she was. And every test that she received, she succeeded with flying colors. And she didn't take it as a test. She took it as the greatest opportunity to please and serve her guru. So with a very wonderful, humble, fertile, grateful heart, she received the Radha Krishna mantra that Haridas Pandit Goswami gave her. And she worshipped her Gurudev and worshipped Krishna every single moment of her life. It is described at that time, she met with her maternal aunt, who was also her god sister. She was also a disciple of Haridas Pandit. Her name was Lakshmi Priya Devi. And she was also chanting a minimum of 300,000 names of Krishna. A minimum. Which means sometimes she chanted even more. Now if you do the math, 16 rounds takes about 2 hours. One and a half for some. So if you do the math, 12 times 16 rounds is 192 rounds. So if you take 2 hours of 16 for 16 rounds, times 12 is 24 hours of chanting for 300,000 names of Krishna. This is called constant chanting. Kirtaniya sadahari. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata. Krishna said constant chanting. And she was doing that. She, Lakshmi Priya Devi, and Shachi Devi. Both. Shachi Devi was just initiated. And her maternal aunt was her senior god sister, who was initiated by Haridas Pandit long time ago. And both would associate with each other and chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And daily they worshipped their guru and discussed with each other what they heard from Sri Guru in his classes. Perfect, perfect disciples. So as they were interacting like this, Haridas Pandit called Lakshmi Priya Devi and said, you should take complete care of Shachi Devi as you're taking at this moment. Teach her everything nicely. I have just initiated her. You teach her everything about bhakti. Give her advice. Guide her on the path of bhakti. She's a queen, but look at her detachment and renunciation. So the guru wants, Haridas Pandit wants Shachi Devi to be under the guidance, under the anugatya of Lakshmi Priya Devi. Dear devotees, this is very important. To be under the guidance of a siksha guru is very important. We may all have diksha gurus, but do we have direct access to the spiritual master? Are we constantly hearing back and forth from the spiritual master? It may not always be possible. Therefore, we need a shiksha guru who will teach us, whom we report our sadhana, whom we report our dinacharya, we report our life, we report our services, at the same time report the anarthas, report all the bad activities that we do, the bad thoughts, if not the thoughts, at least the bad interactions, criticism. Oh, I got angry on her. Please give me some punishment. And then the shiksha guru will advise something, and that will be the right punishment for us. So in this way, Haridas Pandit was the Diksha Guru and Lakshmi Priya Devi was the senior god sister for Shachi Devi, and both were also related by the bloodline. Haridas Pandit told Lakshmi Priya Devi, you should take Shachi Devi to Radha Kund. And both of you live in Radha Kund and do bhajan there. Very intense bhajan. Now both of you are in Vrindavan, but I want both of you to go to Radha Kund. So they went to Radha Kund. Lakshmi Priya Devi took Shachi Devi with her to Radha Kund and taught everything from Shastra that she had learned. And daily they chanted 300,000 names, took bath in Radha Kund, and they did Giriraj Parikrama every single day. Now, as this was fructifying over years, Haridas Pandit became very pleased that Shachi Devi was passing every test. She passed the test when initially he tested her that you should go back. You know, you're a queen. You don't have to live in Vrindavan. You just keep a deity of Krishna at home and you worship. She didn't agree. He told her to beg. She happily did that. She lived on the banks of the Yamuna in tattered clothes without any ornaments, without any opulence. She cleaned all the Goswami temples and begged at the homes and chanted 300,000 names. He was seeing all of this. And now when he gave her a senior god sister to learn from, he also observed that she had no envy, she had no competitive mentality with her god sister. She was always so humble and subordinate and subservient to her senior god sister. Haridas Pandit Goswami saw all of this and he was very impressed. He was seeing that the qualities of devotion are completely manifest and blossomed and bloomed in her consciousness and character. So now he called Shachi Devi and he gave her another project. This is going to be a tough one. What is the project? The Guru told Shachi Devi, I want you to go to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri. Why? After being in Vrindavan, in Radha Kund, why leave all of that and go to Jagannath Puri? And that too, not with Lakshmi Priya Devi. Lakshmi Priya Devi will be in Radha Kund, but now you have to separate from her and live in Jagannath Puri. Why? Gurudev, Haridas Pandit Goswami said that all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have departed. And there's no one to preach the glories of Chaitanya Nityananda in Jagannath Puri. I want you to go there and take Kshetra Sannyas, which means don't move from that place. Never leave Jagannath Puri. Preach there the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make everybody Gaur conscious. Spread the Gaur Achar, Gaur Vichar. Gaura Rami Mukhe Balila Nahi Chale. Jagadananda Pandit in Prem Vivarta has said, just by saying, oh, I am a Gaudiya Vaishnav, it doesn't work. Gaurar Achar, Gaurar Vichar. It's very important. The practice that Mahaprabhu has given in character, the thoughts of Mahaprabhu, the viewpoints of Mahaprabhu, and the practice, practical application and implementation of bhakti that Mahaprabhu has given. This is what we must implement. Only then one belongs to Mahaprabhu. So Haridas Pandit Goswami said, you should go and preach about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pristine teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and get everybody to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Nityananda. And also, he said, on the banks of the Shweta Ganga, not the actual Ganga, but Shweta Ganga. What is Shweta Ganga? A small tributary of the Ganga has formed a pond in Jagannath Puri. It's called Shweta Ganga. It's still water, non-different from Ganga Devi, but it's not a flowing, it's not the source of flowing river. It's not fresh water that comes in. It's just stagnant, still water without any waves or ripples. So on the banks of the Shweta Ganga, there's house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Haridas Pandit Goswami is saying, sitting in Vrindavan, he's telling his disciple Shachi Devi that the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri on the banks of Shweta Ganga is in ruins, completely in ruins. And the deity that was being worshipped there is also abandoned. The deity service has been abandoned. I want you to go take charge of the house, take charge of the service of that deity, spread the glories of Mahaprabhu, preach Gaur consciousness everywhere, and in this way make devotees. This is what I want you to do. Go take Kshetra Sannyas and never leave Jagannath Puri. Shachi Devi took this order of her Gurudev on her head. And now walked by foot from Radha Kund to Jagannath Puri. She actually came from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan because of the order of Jagannath to find Guru. So it has been described, Brahmande Bhramite Kono Bhagya Keno Tare Nadira Pravaha Kono Kashte Lage Tire Brahmande Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jan Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Peach. It has been described after many, 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 many lifetimes. Krishna gives Guru in our life. And then Guru takes the Jiva back to Krishna. So Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, both give Prasad. Krishna gives Prasad and gives Guru in one's life. And Guru teaches and gives Krishna. So we see in the life of Shachi Devi. She came to Jagannath. Jagannath gave her Guru in Vrindavan. And now the Guru in Vrindavan is sending her back to Jagannath. So Shachi Devi walked all the way from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri by foot. And then she came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which was in ruins, completely dilapidated, in broken pieces. But one thing was specifically present there, and that was the Damodar Shila. The Damodar Shila that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya personally worshipped was intact. This was the same house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped into. He lived in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as a guest. So immediately, Shachi Devi, she took care of that place. She worshipped that place. And there, she started taking care of her Damodar Shila. She cultivated tulsi plants so that she can use the tulsi leaves and tulsi manjaris in the service of the Damodar Shila that was left behind in that house. Whatever Srimad Bhagavatam she had heard from Lakshmi Priya Devi and her Gurudev, Haridas Pandit Goswami, she now started speaking in Jagannath Puri. Everybody, instantaneously, immediately, they got magnetized and attracted to her purity. She was speaking not just knowledge, she was speaking realization. She lived such a life of devotion in Vrindavan. And her body was, her clothes were completely filled with the dust of Vrindavan. People saw that she was not someone who was speaking something and living something else. She was actually living. Her life, her character, her practices were speaking so loudly that people hardly heard her voice. Meaning to say, she preached also. But then her activities, coupled with her voice, were the actual preachers. In the area. People from hundreds and hundreds of miles, they walked to come and just hear her speak Srimad Bhagavatam. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj, when he is offered this benediction by Vishnu, ask for a benediction, ask for a boon, and I will fulfill. And Dhruva Maharaj says, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam twai me prasango, bhuyadananta mahatam amalashayanam, yenanjasol bhanamuru vyasanam bhavabdhim, neshe bhavad guna katham ritapanamattam. Dhruva Maharaj begs the Supreme Lord. When Vishnu says, you can take a benediction that you like, Dhruva Maharaj begs. My Lord, give me the benediction that may I be attached to pure Vaishnavas and may I get the chance to hear Harikatha from their lotus lips. Because if I do that, if I get a chance to associate with senior Vaishnavas and hear pure, pristine Harikatha emanating from the lotus lips of such great personalities, then I will cross over the ocean of birth and death, bhavad guna katha amrita panamatta, holding the oars of your transcendental qualities, hearing about Harikatha from the lips of great Vaishnavas, I will cross over the ocean of birth and death, said Dhruva to Vishnu. This is recorded in the fourth canto, ninth chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Dhruva. So the point I'm mentioning is, it is a matter of great fortune to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a great Vaishnava. So when Shachi Devi started speaking in Jagannath Puri, it went like a flood all over the place. People started getting attracted, left, right, center. And they would come and hear her Harikatha. And what to speak of people in general. One of the regular participants in her Harikatha was King Mukunda Dev, who was the then king of Jagannath Puri. She was living in material poverty, without any selfish agenda. And he saw that he had everything opulent, but he didn't have the ecstasy that she had. She didn't have anything that he had, but she was bubbling in happiness. So the king was thinking, I want to give her something. She's so selfless. She's speaking Bhagavatam for the benefit of the residents of Jagannath Puri. I want to give her something, but what can I give her? She's a queen herself. She has given up. She has thrown and kept all of these things at bay. And she has come here in complete material poverty. If I give her things that I have, well, she just gave it up as the queen herself. So what is the thing that I have that I can give her? And he was sincerely meditating. And at that time, that night, Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream of the king. Well, in that time, it used to be very, very, very common because the king of Jagannath Puri used to be a great devotee. From one generation to another, the kings of Jagannath Puri used to be great devotees. So Jagannath used to appear in their dreams and then instruct directly. Lord Jagannath would say, whatever was in the heart of the king, whatever in the heart of Jagannath, they used to have a conversation. So Jagannath appeared in the dream of the king Mukunda Dev and said, I know, I detect this desire in your heart that you want to give her something, and I detect in her heart the desire that she doesn't want to accept anything. But I really feel you should give her residence, proper residence. She has been living off the street for a long time. She's been living in Vrindavan, she's been living in Radha Kund, and now even in Jagannath Puri, she's living off the street. I want you to give her permanent residence because she used to take care of the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but she didn't live there. She just took care of that place and worshipped the deities, and then she would again go from house to house and beg and live in the same poverty-stricken lifestyle that her Gurudev gave her. So Jagannath told, I want you to give her a permanent place, proper residence on the banks of Shweta Ganga, near the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the king said, okay. The king went the next day to Shachi Devi, and after the class, the king told her, I want to give you something. So Shachi Devi said, well, but I don't want to take anything. I don't need anything. King said, well, I think you should still take because I'm the king. I'm offering you. She said, but I'm also the ex-queen. I don't want to take anything. The king said, but Jagannath came in my dream and he told me that I'm supposed to give you this piece of land. And I've chalked it out perfectly on paper. It works nice. Please take this portion of the land on the banks of the Shweta Ganga. I want you to take it. She said, no, I don't want to be materially entangled. I left all of that behind and I've been, just depending on Krishna. He is my protector, he is my maintainer. I don't want to be entangled in any household affair, maintaining of the house, etc., or maintaining of the land, etc. The king said, no, you still have to take it because it's Jagannath's desire. If I don't give it to you, how will I go and face Jagannath? If I go in front of him and offer my prayers, Jagannath will say, you fool, I instructed you to do this. You can't even do this for me. So what can I do? I really want to fulfill the desire of Jagannath. Although she was very hesitant, but out of mercy, she agreed. He gave her the land. And not just that, he built a bathing ghat by her name, Shachi Devi Bathing Ghat. That was the place where she could bathe. That was under her name. And he also announced to everyone in Jagannath Puri that the person you're hearing Harikatha from, she may not speak this, but I want to mention that she is a queen herself. She has rejected everything just out of her greed for bhakti. So everyone, you should respect her, honor her, acknowledge her, and hear Harikatha from her. In this way, she became very respectful. She became very respectable. Her glory spread everywhere in Jagannath Puri. And it is discussed and described that on a specific Utsav, the day of Puja of Varun Dev, Varun is the presiding deity of water. So it's called Mahavaruni Utsav in Bengal and in Orissa. So that is the day when everyone goes to the Ganga and offers puja and takes bath. So everyone in Bengal, everyone in Orissa, all the residents, they went to Ganga to bathe. And Shachi Devi desired that I also want to go to Ganga and I also want to bathe on this day. It is my desire. But then she very quickly remembered that her Gurudev had told not to leave Jagannath Puri because in Jagannath Puri you have the ocean and you have Shweta Ganga, still water. But for you to bathe in the Ganga, you will have to go to the Ganga, right? You'll have to leave Jagannath Puri. But she thought to herself that I'm not going to leave Jagannath Puri, because my Gurudev instructed not to leave Jagannath Puri. So she just gave up that idea of going to the Ganga and bathing and leaving Jagannath Puri. But mysteriously, what happened? That night, Jagannath appeared in her dream. Jagannath now appeared in the dream of Shachi Devi and said, I detect this desire that you want to go and bathe in the Ganga, but at the same time, you're caught between emotions because your Gurudev told you not to leave Jagannath Puri. Shachi Devi, I want to fulfill both of your desires. I want to fulfill your desire of bathing in the Ganga. Jagannath is telling Shachi Devi in the dream, I want to fulfill your desire of bathing in the Ganga, but at the same time, I want to fulfill your desire of not leaving Jagannath Puri. And how that's going to work is I am going to bring Mother Ganga to flow into Jagannath Puri and give you an opportunity to bathe in her. The dream breaks. Jagannath tells her that I want you to go and bathe in the Shweta Ganga pond, and Ganga Devi will come there to meet you. Now, Shweta Ganga is a simple water pond, sitting water. There's no waves there, no ripples even. But Shachi Devi, in the middle of the night, as she got this dream, she woke up. She walked all the way to Shweta Ganga. And as she stepped into Shweta Ganga to fulfill the desire of Lord Jagannath's heart, Jagannath wanted to fulfill Shachi Devi's desire, and Shachi Devi wanted to fulfill Jagannath's words in the dream. Shachi Devi just desired, I want to bathe in the Ganga, but I can't leave Jagannath Puri because I want to fulfill the words of my Gurudev of Kshetra Sannyas. And Jagannath, he thought that it's my responsibility to fulfill her desire. And he got Mother Ganga there. And as Shachi Devi stepped into the still water pond of Shweta Ganga in Jagannath Puri, Ganga Devi started flowing into Shweta Ganga. Ganga Devi entered. She appeared into that pond and she embraced Shachi Devi. And not just that, Shachi Devi was walking from her residence in the middle of the night into Shweta Ganga. But what did Ganga Devi do? She gushed in as waves, and the current of Ganga Devi became so intense that she carried Shachi Devi from Shweta Ganga through the currents of Ganga Devi straight into the temple of Jagannath. You can imagine. Where is Jagannath temple? Where is Shweta Ganga? And Shachi Devi, from her residence, she is walking in the middle of the night just to step into that pond, and Ganga Devi appears there. And her currents gush through, the waters gush through like a river, all over the place. The water is spreading everywhere in Jagannath Puri as soon as Shachi Devi stepped her lotus feet in. Ganga Devi was so happy. भवद्विदा भागवत तीर्थभूत स्वयं विभो तीर्थी कुर्वन्ति तीर्थाणि स्वान्तस्तेन गदाव्रतः. भागवतम डिस्क्राइब्स दैट प्योर वैष्णवस दे आर ट्रैवलिंग प्लेसेस ऑफ पिलग्रिमेज बिकॉज इन देयर हार्ट कृष्ण रिजाइड्स एंड वेर एवर कृष्ण रिजाइड्स दैट्स अ धाम. सो शची देवीज हार्ट इज फिल्ड विद भक्ति, कृष्ण इज लिविंग देयर, एंड देयर फोर वेन शी वेंट शी इनवोक्ड गंगा देवी इन श्वेत गंगा. And Ganga Devi became very dear and very enthusiastic to come near and embrace Shachi Devi's heart. She carried Shachi Devi straight into the temple of Jagannath. That's very interesting. The temple of Jagannath was locked up with the guards sleeping outside in the middle of the night. And suddenly they wake up because they can hear some sound coming from inside the temple. So the gods think there's an intruder. There are either ghosts, but ghosts can't exist because Jagannath is the lord of the universe. He doesn't entertain ghosts. Or maybe there's a thief who's come there to steal the ornaments of Jagannath. But it was actually Shachi Devi who was carried by the currents of the Ganga water into the altar of Jagannath. And as she was bathing in the water, she could see celestial demigods also bathe in that water, all inside the temple altar of Jagannath. Inside locked doors. I don't know how they entered, but by the mercy of Jagannath, by the mercy of Ganga Devi, and by the pure devotion of Shachi Devi, they entered inside. The guards opened. And as the guards opened, in fact, even the guards are not allowed in at night. They have supposed to lock and just be outside. So they prefer to sleep. So they are also not allowed, but they opened. And they suspected there's something wrong by the sounds that they were hearing. And as they opened, they saw there's no water there, and there's only one person, Shachi Devi, next to Jagannath. They became very furious. They became very furious. They took this thing to King Mukunda Dev, who was very favorable to Shachi Devi, and they cooked up a story that Shachi Devi has been found stealing ornaments and clothes of Jagannath at the middle of the night in the altar. So the king became very disturbed. Some devotees started saying, no, she's not a thief. She's the one whom we hear Harikatha from. She's the speaker of Bhagavatam. But the guards went and presented a very strong case before the king. And the king announced that she must go on trial. So the guards dragged her in dark prison dungeon. She was pushed into a prison house, but she was not disturbed. The king was very disturbed. How is it that she was speaking Bhagavatam? How is it that her consciousness has become polluted, that she would want to go and steal the clothes and the ornaments of Jagannath in the middle of the night? But then she was in bliss. She did not revolt. She did not retaliate. She did not even justify that. No, 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 no. You don't understand how all this happened. She was just quiet. Tiraskrita, viprlabdha, shapta, kshipta, hata api, nasya tat pratikurvanti, tat bhaktaha prabhavopihi. The Bhagavatam describes the pure Vaishnavas as such, even when they're criticized, even when they're cheated, even when they're cursed, even if they are tortured or even put at the time of death on the verge of being killed, they don't retaliate. They don't think of reacting. Ashli Shiva Padaratam Pinashtumam Adarshanan Marma Hatam Karotuva Yathatathava Vidathatulam Patomat Prananatastu Saevanapara. Whether Krishna embraces me or whether Krishna crushes me under his lotus feet or Krishna doesn't appear before me, Krishna, you can deal with me the way you want, but I have decided to sell myself to you. This is devotion. So she blissfully just chanted all day and night in the prison, as all of these atrocities were going and around her and she was being misunderstood. She didn't speak a word in justification. She just tolerated and chanted. She always saw Jagannath's hand in everything that happened. If I get a piece of land, that's Jagannath's mercy. If Jagannath puts me in the prison, he wants to purify my heart. This is how she saw. But that night, somebody appeared in the king's dream. And who was it? It was Jagannath. Generally, Jagannath is always smiling ear to ear, you know, very wide smile. But this night when he was in the dream of the king, he was not smiling. He was very angry. His eyes were rolling like balls of fire. Jagannath was shouting at the king in the dream, how dare you punish my dear devotee? Do you even know how she's here? And you think that she was stealing my ornaments and my clothes? She's a queen. She gave up all of that. She doesn't even have a trace or a stink of those desires in her heart. You know, you want to know how she came to my altar? Do you want to know what she was doing there? I arranged Ganga Devi to touch her lotus feet and bring her close to me. Ganga flows from my feet. So anyone who takes shelter of Ganga, they come back to my feet. Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale Mama Matim Astam Tavapada Kamale. Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya has composed the Ganga Stotra where he glorifies Ganga Devi. That anyone who bathes in the Ganga, Ganga brings them back to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the nature of the river, right? It takes one back to her source. So, Ganga and Gita, they are the two rivers that come from Krishna, that take us back to Krishna. Ganga flows from the lotus feet of Krishna. So anyone who bathes and takes shelter of Ganga, the Ganga Devi will bring them back to her lotus feet, the lotus feet of Krishna. And similarly, the Ganga waters of Gita coming from the lips of Krishna, if someone bathes there, it'll bring them back to the lotus face of Krishna. So Ganga Devi got her to my lotus feet because I wanted to see my devotee. She wanted to take bath in the Ganga, but she couldn't leave Jagannath Puri. And Ganga Devi was ordered here to come and give darshan to her and take her darshan. And I wanted to meet both of my devotees. So I arranged into my altar. What's your problem? So the king was shivering in his dream. Jagannath instructed, I want you and all your associates to fall at her feet, beg for forgiveness, release her out of the prison, respect and honor her, spread her glories about what I told you all around Puri, and take initiation from her. Surrender your life at her lotus feet. If you don't do this, everything auspicious in your life will be ruined and finished overnight. By the snap of my fingers, Jagannath said, I will turn tables in your life. Go and surrender and take Diksha. The king came to the prison, released her, told all the pujaris, all the pandas, all everyone, all the residents, beg forgiveness. This is the story that Jagannath revealed in my dream. Told, he chastised all the guards. Why you cook up stories like this? They said, oh, forgive us, my lord. This is what we thought. The king ordered everyone in Jagannath Puri to surrender their life and take Diksha from her. The next very auspicious moment, the king surrendered his life and Shachidevi initiated the king. Not just initiated the king, initiated the pandas, initiated the pujaris, initiated everyone. And from that day onwards, because she was given mercy by Lord Jagannath and Ganga Devi, Shachidevi was renamed in Jagannath Puri by the king and given the name Ganga Mata Goswamini. She became the guru of the king, guru of the whole society, very highly respected. But she still remained simple and humble with the same clothes, and she still begged Madhukari like a bumblebee going from flower to flower. She went from house to house. The king wanted to give her some dakshina after diksha, and she didn't want anything. The king said, no, I'm your disciple. I want to beg and give you something. So she said, okay, then you make arrangement that two pots of Jagannath Mahaprasad should come to my place every day. The king said, okay. This practice is continuing even till this very day. Two pots of Jagannath Mahaprasad go to the house, the mutt, this bhajan sthali of Ganga Mata Goswamini. And as Ganga Mata Goswamini was getting old, thousands of kilometers away in Jaipur, in Rajasthan, there was one man who was worshipping deities by the name Rasik Rai, Radha Rasik Rai. He had a Radha Krishna deity, Radha Rasik Rai. And he was worshipping those deities, but he was a very poor man. He was also very old. And he didn't have anything to eat, so he couldn't give his deities, he couldn't offer any bhoga to his deities. So Radha Rasik Rai spoke to this man in Jaipur that, you don't give me anything to eat. So he said, because I don't have anything to eat, so what can I give you? So Radha Rasik Rai said, then why don't you give me and entrust my service to a very great Vaishnavi in Jagannath Puri by the name Ganga Mata Goswamini. You take me and give me to her. So he walked all the way to Jagannath Puri to fulfill the desire of his beloved deities. And he came to Ganga Mata Goswamini. He asked, where does she live? And everyone guided this man from Jaipur to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where she was doing seva to the Damodar Shila. He came and he said, I want to offer my deities to you. She said, but, I am poor. He said, I am poor, that's why I can't serve. She said, I am equally poor. He said, I am old. She said, I am equally old. I can't serve deities. I can't take. He said, but it is the instruction of Radha Rasik Rai that their service should be given to you. You know, she said, but I can't take. Please forgive me. I just have the Damodar Shila. That too, because my Gurudev told me to worship this deity. That's why I'm worshipping Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Shaligram Shila. I can't take any. So this Brahmana from Jaipuri was thinking, she's not agreeing, but what do I do? So he just left Radha Rasik Rai in a tulsi plant, in the tulsi garden of Ganga Mata Goswami in the middle of the night, and he fled back to Jaipur. So in the morning when Ganga Mata Goswamini woke up, she saw there's Radha Rasik Rai in the middle of the tulsi forest that she had cultivated. She had come there to pick tulsi leaves for her Damodar Shila. So she realized that this was the desire, the heartfelt desire of Radha Rasik Rai to live with her. So understanding that desire, like a mother, she would cook for them. She would beg bhoga and cook for them. And many times she would just beg rotis and share rotis with Radha Rasikrai directly. In this way, she used to be absorbed 12 hours a day in bathing them, talking to them, worshipping them, feeding them. And she did everything devotional. You can imagine, for many, 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 many years, living in the Dham, living in Vrindavan, living in Jagannath Puri, worshipping the deities for 12 hours, chanting 300,000 names of Krishna, speaking Bhagavatam classes, associating with great Vaishnavas, and tolerating all difficulties with very simple, humble mood of detachment. She did this for many, 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 many years. And finally, she was 120 years old. She couldn't beg anymore. She couldn't take care of the deities anymore. So she prayed to Radha Rasikrai. Radha Rasikrai, I am very old. I can't take care of you anymore. Please let your service pass on to other Vaishnavas. And please give me the fortune of giving up my body. I can't serve you with my body anymore. So Radha Rasikrai spoke, no, 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 mother, you've been loving me so nicely. I don't want you to die. I want you to live and cook for me. And she said, but I'm very old. I can't do it anymore. So Radha Rasikrai understood. And fulfilling her desire in front of Tulsi plants, in front of her Damodar Shila, in front of Radha Rasikrai, at the age of 120, in the Dham of Jagannath Puri, near the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, on the banks of the Shweta Ganga, where Ganga Devi was flowing, chanting 300,000 names of Krishna, living in destitute detachment and poverty, Srimad Bhagavatam classes, speaking and hearing and worshipping the deities, glancing at those beautiful forms of Radha Rasikrai in Jagannath Puri, Ganga Mata Goswamini, on this very day today, left her body to enter the eternal pastimes of Radha Govinda Dev. In this way, she is worshipped as one of the most prominent, respectful, wonderfully exalted acharyas in a feminine form. All the Matajis on the call, all the Prabhujis on the call, especially the Matajis. We always hear of acharyas like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, all in the male forms. But Ganga Mata Goswamini is a very great inspiration for everyone, for children, for old people, for male, for female. And she is one of the most famous, respected, well-known, honored, worshipped acharyas in our Gaudiya Parampara. So on this very day of her appearance, we pray to her, we pray to Ganga Devi, we pray to Baladev Vidyabhushan, we pray to all the wonderful acharyas that may we get one drop of devotion that they all possessed in their heart. Vancha kalpatrupyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Fantastic and very enlightening class, Prabhuji. Your class is always amazing, Prabhuji. Thank you for sharing our glories of Ganga Mata and Sachi Devi. I like that Sachi Devi following her guru's words, but she want to see Ganga Mata in that situation. Jagannath came in dream, Sachi Devi's dream, and both Ganga Devi and Sachi Devi took the darshan of Jagannath. Even the doors are closed also. And the king and all people also got the surrendered to Jagannath. Very nice class, Prabhuji. Do you have time for questions?
Thank you, Mataji, for attentively listening and repeating all the details with so much enthusiasm. That I wish I can develop that quality of attentive hearing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are learning from you, Prabhuji. Do you have time for questions, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji. Yeah. We can take as many questions as possible. I have some time today.
Yeah, I am requesting devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, please raise your hands. We can unmute for you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranama, Goshti Srila Prabhupada. What a fantastic class, Prabhuji. Thank you so, so much. Thank you so much. Nice to hear about Ganga Mata Goswami. I heard many things I heard for the first time. Thank you for taking that topic and enlightening us on this topic, Prabhuji. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You for...
I'm relating all the, Srimad Bhagavatam and all the different acharyas, Prahlad Maharaj and Nirjal Ekadashi, taking all the subject matter together. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. You're like a mother to me. So
Thank you.
anytime you instruct me, I am always there at your service.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Arkit Roy Chowdhury, Prabhuji, you can go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. First, I'm very, very grateful to you for such a wonderful session. What really struck me is that how Ganga Mata Goswami, he was crying to Jagannath for getting Sri Guru. And after that, Jagannath, he came in his dream and directed him to the Sri Guru. So in our lives, like when we are not initiated, we are crying to Krishna for getting Guru. Now, Sri Srimad Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj would always enforce on this point that we should cry to Krishna. We have no vision. Now, Prabhu, my question is that crying is one thing that we shed tears, but at the same time, Gaur Govinda Maharaj said that we should cry internally. It's not an external thing. So I was, can you please enlighten us about what the external crying and internal crying, what is more needed and how to do that?
External crying is the result of internal crying. When the internal crying cannot remain internal anymore, then it comes out as tears. It is a fact that everyone who wants a spiritual master must cry. Otherwise, we will be cheated. Bahavah Guravo Santi Shishyas Vittapaharaka Sadguru Durlabham Devi Shishya Santapaharaka. Lord Shiva tells Mother Parvati, there are many, many spiritual masters who are ready to just take the wealth of the disciple. But Sadguru, the true spiritual master, is very rare. He is not interested in taking the wealth, but he is interested in taking away the distress. So we should pray to Krishna. And what is that crying, internal crying? We should feel that who is there to guide me in this world towards Krishna? Shastras are there, but I can close Shastra and keep it aside, and he will not twist my hand. One time, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada in a morning walk, Prabhupada, do we need guru? Some say just by reading your books and having no spiritual master, we will get all guidance. Prabhupada said, yes, my books can give you direction, but can they twist? And Prabhupada twisted the arm. He said, can they twist the arm like this? He said, this only guru can do, this only sadhu can do. So Shastra will tell us what to do and what not to do. But Shastra will not intervene in our life and say, this is where you're going wrong, unless we want to take lessons like that. So we should feel in our heart, who is there for me? Mera kaun hai? My parents are not there for me because they will leave before me. My brothers and sisters are not there for me because they are alive, but they are in different parts of the country or different parts of the world also. My children also are not there with me because they're there with me after the age of 18 or 20. And then once they move out, then they don't talk to the parents anymore. Who's there for me? Even my body is not there for me. It also leaves me at the time of death. I, meaning the soul. So who is that person who will take me to Krishna? This feeling must be there. And the more this feeling comes, one will start thinking, oh, in a ocean, in a big ocean, I am all by myself. Imagine if we are tossed into the ocean in the middle of the night and we don't know to swim. How desperate will we be to seek help? That's how desperate we should be. That I am in the ocean of birth and death, and I have taken so many mothers' wombs as my resting place, and I am drowning in this ocean of suffering. Trishna toye madana pavano dhuta mohormi male dara varte tanaya sahaja graha sanghakulecha samsarakhe mahati jaladam majjhatam nastri dhaman Padam bhoje varada bhavato bhakti navam prayachya. King Kulashekhara is saying, my Lord, I am drowning in this ocean. Please give me the boat of devotion to your lotus feet to save me. So this internal feeling must be there, a vacuum that I want somebody to help me. And he should be a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav, a great Vaishnav, Krishna Prapt, Krishna Alingita Vigraha, somebody who has embraced Krishna in his heart. I want such a great soul and I am ready to sell myself. So when we become ready and ripe and fertile in our heart, Then Krishna will make arrangement for Guru. This is the internal crying.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a beautiful answer. Now, Parul Saini, Prabhuji, can go ahead. Hare Krishna. Parul Saini, Prabhuji, are you there?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhuji, please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I think that's a Mataji, and I think she's trying to unmute herself.
Actually, my got on mute, so that's okay, Prabhu. I can.
Yeah, Prabhu, we'll go to the Mataji and then we'll
yes,
come
yes,
to
yes, yes, Prabhu.
So you can kindly unmute yourself, and Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhamitnam. Prabhuji, thank you so much. You are truly nectarian river for me. I felt like I've seen Ganga Mata Goswamini through my ears, and thank you so much for that. It was so emotive. Prabhuji, my question is a little out of context, but when we hear ki there are four pillars of dharma, and in Kali Yuga there is honesty left, but Kali Yuga is all about deceit, dhoka, fareb. So how can I understand this, that honesty left in Kali Yuga? Please elaborate. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu gives very beautiful example. In fact, last evening I was hearing Harikatha from His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. And he was mentioning that there are four pillars of dharma, namely Satyam, Tapaha, Shaucham and Daya. Mercy, truth, austerity and compassion and cleanliness. Four. There's no cleanliness in Kali Yuga because internal and external cleanliness is lost. People are bathing hardly. They just put on some perfume and leave. And even if there's bathing three times a day, the internal cleanliness is lost because of absorption in the outside world. Daya is not there because animals are being roasted alive. And His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu was mentioning that most of the medical surgeries, the success is seen in is coming from Germany. Why? Because they tried it on the Jewish humans. The humans were used as specimens for all these surgeries. So there's no daya. Like, you try it on a human. So there's no daya, there's no cleanliness, and there's no tapasya. Can't even fast once in 2 weeks on Ekadashi. I'm talking about myself. I can't fast. So what's the use of tapasya? What's the question of tapasya? But the truth that remains is, like in America here, you can walk into a shopping mall. Prabhuji was giving this example that you can, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works in India. But with respect to America, I'll give you an example. You can use something from a shopping mall. Let's say you purchase something and you use it for a month. And then you can go and return it and you can say, I'm not satisfied with this product. And they will give you complete money back. So they'll just trust you on face value that it's not satisfied. So many times, people from different cultures, what they do, if they, let's say they have a party and they want to use, they let's say they want suit and they want proper tie and they want proper coat or whatnot. So they'll just purchase all of that for a specific time frame, use it through the party or through the marriage or whatever, and then just go back and return after a month saying that it doesn't fit me, I'm not happy and it's not satisfied, and they'll get complete money back. So you get a free suit through all these things. Of course, it's not ethical, but the point I'm making is the policy for the shopping malls have for the customers is they trust you on face value. So that's the only wobbling limb or the leg of Kali that's still alive. But that's also going downslope. Is that okay?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You can, Prerana Mataji, you can go ahead with your question, Mataji.
I'll keep the answers crisp and short from now so that we can take more hands, if that's okay.
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Prerana Mataji, you can go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
I'm not sure if they're able to unmute themselves. Hare
Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this lecture. I had never come across Ganga Mata Goswami before. I am now reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita and I am now trying to also memorize the verses. But since it's in Bengali, I find it a little difficult. So how would you advise and how should I go about it?
Bengali is a very sweet language.
Yes.
So you can hear someone who's chanting it nice. Because the way Bengali is spoken and the way Bengali is written, of course, if you know to read the script, then it's wonderful. But if you're reading it in English, the pronunciation can get very badly managed. Let's say if you're a South Indian reading Bengali in English script, then they will read it like South India. You know, someone of the South Indian, the accent will be heavy. But the typical thing is if we can hear someone who's a traditional Bengali speaker chant the verse, or we can refer to their pronunciation, or you can also see the pronunciation guide that Prabhupada gives at the back of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What mark means what. So in that way, of course, that needs a long discussion of pronunciation in Bengali, but I think that's the way to go about it. You hear someone who's pronouncing it properly. In that way, we know that when there is a Y, like Y-E, you write it in English as Ye, but in Bengali you say it as J, J-E Jano. And it's not A, it is A. The basic script is pronounced like that. J-E Jano, Takhan, that's how the pronunciation goes in Bengali. So if we hear, let's say, a traditional Bengali speaker, then we learn the pronunciation. Then we will be able to chant the verses. Of course, a disclaimer is I am not a traditional Bengali devotee, and I don't speak Bengali, and I don't know Bengali. I don't claim to be any Bengali authority, but I am just directing the direction because I was asked the question.
Thank you so much. Nisha Mataji, you can go ahead with your questions, Mataji. Vinita Mataji, could you please unmute her?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. I had never heard about before Ganga Mataji Goswami, but you glorified her so beautifully, so nectarially, and every word of you from you touched my heart and really, really inspired me. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this class. My question is about the Harinam. As we know, tomorrow is Nirjala Ekadashi. So, as we know that in our life, we should chant at least 3.5 crore names, as Brahma Ji said to Narad Muni. So should we focus on completing 3.5 crore names, or should we focus on chant at least one pure name in our lives?
Thank you for this question. For those who haven't heard about the number, it comes from the Kali Santarana Upanishad, where Hare Krishna Mahamantra is mentioned. Narad Muni also asks how much one should chant. So Brahmaji says if one is able to chant 3.5 crore times in a lifetime, then Maya Devi liberates such a living entity, which means chanting 16 rounds for 56 years in one's life, or chanting 32 rounds for 28 years, or chanting 64 rounds for 14 years, and you can do the math, 120 rounds for 7 years, or it goes on. So that is definitely the long-term target. It's not like the immediate target. But the immediate target is to chant 16 rounds nicely, absorbed, without distraction, without deviation, not talking in the middle of our chanting, but chanting with complete absorption, thinking about Krishna from bead to bead. As we are moving, we are remembering Krishna. Whatever we have heard in Harikatha, we are remembering the life of great Vaishnavas, great acharyas, remembering Krishna, remembering Gurudev, and praying constantly. And in this way, we chant nicely at least 16 rounds. Not to finish our 16 rounds, but to chant nicely. And then as the taste develops by Krishna's mercy, that 16 will increase. And then by Krishna's mercy, maybe before the end of this life, we will be able to finish the target. If not, swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya, the count never goes away. We can carry forward in our next life. if we get a favorable human birth.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing about chanting. Now, Kunj Sachdev Prabhuji, you can go ahead, Prabhuji, with your question.
It's actually a little daughter of a devotee, a little kid. Yes, Kunj, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. My question is how to become so obedient like Ganga Devi Goswamini.
How to be obedient to Sri Guru. Whatever Gurudev says, we should follow. We should try. We should be very obedient. Whatever Guru tries to say, we should try to implement in our life. But before obedience comes, affection comes. Wherever there is affection, we are obedient. Wherever there is no affection, we will not be obedient. Like for example, if you have some affection for me, and if I tell you something, then you will listen because you have affection. But if someone else tells you, or if I tell someone else, and if there's no affection, or let's say my Gurudev tells me something, and if I have affection for him, then I will listen. But if he says something, and if I have no affection for him, then I will not listen. Right? So the most important thing is to develop some affection and some love for the person. Then whatever they say, to please them, because they are so dear to our heart, we will feel that is all that they are asking for. I will do it for them. Srila Jiva Goswami says there are two kinds of disciples. First disciple serves Guru to please Krishna. But even higher, second type of disciple is he who serves Krishna to please Guru. The first disciple is serving Guru to please Krishna. The aim is to please Krishna. But the even higher disciple is he serving Krishna to please Gurudev. Gurudev is his life. So that should be our mode. So wherever there's affection, there's obedience. And wherever there's obedience, there is bhakti. No obedience, no bhakti.
Okay, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, little Vaishnavi, for asking question. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your answer. Now, Sureshwar Prabhuji, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Amrinder Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you, Prabhu. For glorious words. Prabhuji, my question is, like it is said that a woman always should be protected by father, husband and children later, right? But here we see a different in case of Ganga, Mata Goswami. So
there are always exceptions to the rules. Like for example, you will have a pond. The pond will always have banks. Right? The pond will always have banks around. The lake will always have banks around it, under which the water moves. But if you see a river, or let's say an ocean, it breaks that rule because it's voluminous. So it goes beyond the banks and spills all over the place. So there are some general rules for human civilization. But Ganga Mata Goswami is like an ocean. She is exceptional. She breaks through all the barriers because her devotion is oceanic and it goes in all directions. So you'll always have exception to the rule, and this is just an exception.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now we can go for Omkar. Prabhuji, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. My question is, how to pronounce complete Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Sanskrit? What if one's pronunciation goes a little off while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Will one get the complete fruit of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra if one is not able to pronounce mantra in properly?
We should try our best to chant the holy names properly. We should chant Rama, Krishna, Hare properly. It's not difficult. But let's say someone has a stammer, or has a lisp, or one has some inability, which is again God-given, and one is not able to. Or let's say one has a different accent or a different linguistic cultural background, and one is not able to. That is completely fine, provided one is remembering Krishna. Even those without tongues have got Krishna just by the use of their mind, by remembering Krishna. So let's say if one is remembering Krishna, And if the pronunciation is going off, not because of inattention, but because of they are trying their best, but that's all that they can, and they're remembering Krishna, then there is no problem. But let's say we can chant properly, but we are not chanting properly because of, let's say, not interested, or we are not attentive, and we are thinking other things, then that is a flaw. We should give Krishna either devotion, or we should give Krishna at least sincerity, if not exalted devotion. So sincerity means to chant properly, correctly. You see, Prabhupada's pronunciation is perfect. So Prabhupada is chanting nicely, distinctly, clearly. So we should try to chant like that. And think of Krishna while we chant. But if we have some inability and we are not able to, that is fine, completely fine. Who gave that inability? Krishna gave it, so Krishna will understand. We are trying our best. And then we're remembering Krishna, and that's perfect. We will still get the fruit of chanting. But if it is because of laziness or lack of focus, then it is something to be worked upon.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Then is it okay if the pronunciation goes off? Because I'm trying my best to pronounce it well.
I just mentioned, so if you think that you qualify, then it is yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Monica Garg, we missed her. Can she go next? I have unmuted her.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Very nice lecture today. It's amazing. I really want to listen more and more of your lectures. Prabhuji, the thing is that I have, like, I don't know, it's a positive thing or it's negative. I'm unable to decide. But I just want to withdraw myself from everyone I see around. Just focus more on chanting and all and listening and reading. I mean, the people don't trust me anymore. I mean, okay.
Somehow the voice was not so audible. I think the internet connection was...
The thing is that... sorry. The thing is that, like, you know, I feel like withdrawing myself from the people. I want to focus more on, like, reading, chanting, more on listening. I mean, I don't want to get so much into public. Their duplicity kind of touches me. I cannot absorb it. You think this is okay?
Well, we have to do the duties that we have assigned. We have been assigned. Let's say if we are a mother, we can say, I can take care of my children. Let's say somebody is a single mother and they have to go out and, let's say, work to make the money to take care of their kids. They can't say that I'm going to sit at home, because we'll have to do the duty that Krishna puts us through. And one thing is to be understood that if we are going out in public for associating with devotees, to chant the holy name, to hear Harikatha, to go to the temple and have darshan, then it's very favorable. If we are going out in the public, let's say to do our duty, our job, make money so that we can take care of our family in proper responsibility, then it is perfect. Everything is spiritual only. And if the taste in bhakti naturally rises, then virakti will come, renunciation will come. One thing we have to understand very clearly in nature, that when the fruit becomes ripe, then it automatically falls from the branch, right? But by pulling it from the branch forcibly, it's not going to become ripe. When, let's say, if it's unripe and I pull it, it's not going to become ripe by pulling. But if it's ripe, then it automatically detaches itself from the tree. So what I'm trying to say is, when our devotion is ripe like a fruit, automatically detachment from unnecessary things will come up in life. Automatically it will rise. That is when the fruit is ripe. But on the other hand, by pulling the fruit away, which means detaching ourselves from other things, we can't expect the fruit of our devotion to become ripe. Rupa Goswami has defined what proper detachment is. Anasaktasya vishayan yathartham upayunjatah nirbanda krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate ప్రపంచికతయా బుద్ధ్యా హరి సంబంధి వస్తున ముముక్షుభి పరిత్యాగో వైరాగ్యం ఫల్గు కథ్యతే. ఇన్ ద భక్తి రసామృత సింధు రూప గోస్వామి హెస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ నాట్ రిలేటెడ్ డైరెక్ట్లీ టు కృష్ణ టు కీప్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ ఈస్ ప్రాపర్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ క్యాన్ బి యూస్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్ టు కీప్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ప్రాపర్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ టు అసోసియేట్ విత్ దాట్ టు యూజ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్ ఇస్ ప్రాపర్ ఇస్ ప్రాపర్ యూజ్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ So one should be in the situation one is and chant. Whatever duties one Krishna has given one, one should perform those duties from 9 in the morning to 4 or 5 in the evening. But before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m., one should try to cultivate hearing, reading, chanting, remembering. At least at this point, we don't have the taste to constantly read and constantly chant and constantly speak and constantly hear. And therefore, it's necessary to have some Rajasic activity in this world, which will keep us grounded and busy. And when the taste naturally rises, where we can remember and speak and hear and sing and read about Krishna for 10, 12, 14, 15, 24 hours, then automatically Krishna will change circumstances in our life. And that is proper detachment. Is that okay?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now, Sri Madhavi Mataji, you can go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for giving us your valuable association and giving us the most important opportunity to hear about such an exalted Vaishnava. And is also related to same. Like you told us that she was so lovingly serving her deities. How can we also develop such affection and love for our deities? Like I also have deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra at my home and little Goku as well. But the way she was serving, I don't feel the same way when I serve them. Sometimes I just feel like I'm doing it as my duty only. But how to develop that love and affection for the deities?
You have to see them as a person. You have to see them as a person, not just theoretically. You have to wake them up in the morning and no putting lights on. Sing a song, wake them up slowly, massage their feet. Now you'll say they don't have feet. Then in your meditation, you can go like this. Jagannath is standing all day for me. Not in public, but one-to-one. Not in showing others, look at my devotion. Not like that. If we do that, then the camphor of our devotion will go through sublimation. It will evaporate. So we have to massage the feet of the Lord when we wake him up. You can even fan him with a chamar. Anytime you want, you can fan him. It doesn't have to just be at the end of the arati. Take a chamar and instead of depending on a fan or a centralized AC or whatever, take the fan of the chamar and say, My Lord, I hope you had proper sleep. I hope you didn't have any bad dreams, Gopal. Pray to Narsingadev so that Gopal doesn't have bad dreams. As soon as you wake Gopal up, you can give him a sweet. Kulla karne ke liye thoda jal rakh do paas mein. Muh dho lo thakur ka. Then you give him a nice bath. And if it is very hot outside, give him a cold bath. And if it's cold outside, give him a warm bath. When you give him water to drink, put some edible camphor, karpur there. Or something that will flavor his drinking of water. बीच बीच में जाके पानी देते रहना गर्मी के समय आप पीते रहिए ठाकुर जी गोपाल जी आप पीते रहिए उनके लिए कोई नए नए कपड़े बनाना बाजू में टॉयज रख देना उनके पास में मिरर रख देना रात को सोते समय ताकि उनको ये ना लगे कि वो अकेले सोए हैं क्योंकि वो मिरर देखेंगे तो लगेंगे कोई है मेरे साथ सो प्रेम करना है प्रभु से जब मंदिर जाते हैं मंदिर के ठाकुर से फिर लक्ष्मी नारायण का व्यवहार करना है हम उनके घर जा रहे हैं तो फिर ठीक है प्रभु मैं आपका दास हूँ ये रहा तो हमारे हैं अपने हैं घर के हैं मुझे भूख लगी तो उनको भूख लगी मुझे नींद आई तो उनको नींद आई इफ आई एम स्लीपी ही इज स्लीपी इफ आई एम थर्स्टी ही इज थर्स्टी इफ आई फील हॉट मींस ही फील्स हॉट व्हाटएवर आई एम फीलिंग इज एक्चुअली अ रेसिप्रोकेशन दैट ही इज फीलिंग बिकॉज दिस बॉडी कैन नॉट फील एनीथिंग बिकॉज इट्स डेड सोल इज ट्रांसेंडेंटल सो द सटल बॉडी इज व्हाट इज फीलिंग बिकॉज ऑफ द प्रेजेंस ऑफ परमात्मा हु इज देयर ऑन द अल्टर
Right.
What he's feeling is what I am feeling. So when you feel happy, go and talk to him. Today, you know, my husband got promotion. This is the letter. My son, he came first. आज इनसे झगड़ा हुआ, पता नहीं मैंने ऐसे क्यों बोला, हे जगन्नाथ जी. सो यू शुड ट्रीट जगन्नाथ एज गॉड एंड गोपाल एज चाइल्ड. डोंट प्रे टू गोपाल, प्रे टू जगन्नाथ, बट प्रे टू जगन्नाथ फॉर गोपाल. गोपाल जी का भोग और जगन्नाथ जी का भोग अलग बनेगा, मतलब अलग स्वाद बनेगा दोनों का. दोनों एक प्रकार के भोजन नहीं खाएंगे, वो तो पूरे जगत को खा लेंगे, गोपाल पूरे जगत को नहीं खा पाएंगे. वो थोड़े दो रोटी एक्स्ट्रा हो जाए तो फिर स्टमक अपसेट हो जाएगा इनका, उनका तो कुछ नहीं होगा, वो तो स्वामी है. सो जगन्नाथ इज गॉड बट गोपाल इज आवर चाइल्ड. तो इस प्रकार भाव भाव सेवा. फिर अगर कोई कहेंगे 10 दिन बाहर जाना है तो गोपाल को साथ ले चलेंगे ना. जगन्नाथ जी को कहेंगे, जगन्नाथ जी को कहेंगे आप जाके जहां खाना है खा लो, पर लौट के यहीं आना है आपको. 10 दिन मैं नहीं रहूंगी सेवा के लिए, आपका ही घर है ना जगन्नाथ, आप हो. You are the Lord of the universe, the whole world is your place. जो भी माता है आप उनके किचन में जाके प्रसाद पाके आइए, कोई बात नहीं, पर लौट के यही आना है आपको. ऐसा नहीं कि वहां माखन मिश्री अलग मिल गई, एकदम वहां पे सोन पापड़ी देने लगे तो वहीं बस गए आप ना, आपको लौट के यहाँ आना है. और गोपाल आप तो मेरे साथ चलोगे, आप तो कहाँ जाओगे, आपको तो रेंगना भी नहीं आता, आप कहाँ जाके खाओगे, और मैं ना पवाऊं तो आप क्या खाएंगे, मैं ना दूं तो आप कहां जाएंगे, आपका है कौन दूसरा मेरे अलावा. ऐसे स्मरण करें, रात को उठे तो भी सोचे कि कहीं वो कोई चल तो नहीं रहा वहां पे, कोई जोर से बोल तो नहीं रहा, लाइट तो नहीं लगाया, जोर से कोई दरवाजा तो बंद नहीं करा ना, गोपाल जी उठ जाएंगे. यही भाव चलेगा मन में तो व्यक्ति नीचे भी बैठ के बात करेगा तो मन में चलता रहेगा गोपाल जी क्या कर रहे हैं. बहुत हम जाके मिले नहीं उनसे, कई बार कहीं 2 घंटे हो गए, 3 घंटे हो गए, कर क्या रहा है बच्चा, जाके देखो पास में कोई टॉयज रख दीजिए उनके, खेलते रहिए, बहुत सुंदर. बाजू में स्लेट रखिए उनको सिखाइए आप. गोपाल जी के बाजू में स्लेट और चौक रख दीजिए, उनको राधा राधा लिखने सिखाइए, बचपन से लट लगा दीजिए राधा रानी की. गोपाल जी को सिखा दीजिए राधा नाम. तो क्यों नहीं फंसेंगे प्रभु हृदय में, क्यों नहीं फंसेंगे, कब तक डरेंगे प्रभु से. और बाल गोपाल बन के आए हैं क्यों, भाव सेवा के लिए तो आए हैं. मंदिर में अलग होगा क्योंकि वो सबके ठाकुर हैं, अपने नहीं है ये, अपने हैं. मैं हिंदी में इसलिए कह रहा हूं क्योंकि ब्रज भाव हिंदी में उमड़ता है. तो फिर प्रभु से प्रेम करना है, प्रभु प्रेम के भूखे हैं. फिर जगन्नाथ जी के भी भोग लेके आएंगे, गरम गरम ले आइए, तवे से ले आइए, रोटी ले आइए, जगन्नाथ जी को कहिए कि आप खाना शुरू कीजिए, मैं दूसरा बना के ले आते. जैसे व्यक्ति को नहीं खिलाते हैं वैसे
जी,
ऐसा नहीं कि 2-3 बार लग दिया अब देखो आप खा लो जितना, अभी आगे उनको भूख लगे तो बीच में गरम गरम बना के ले जाए, घी लगा के तवे से सीधा जगन्नाथ जी को चलने दो भोग 15-20 मिनट के, कोई नहीं, अपने ही है, पालेंगे जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा बैठ के अच्छे से पाएंगे. और वो महाप्रसाद जब हमारे शरीर में जाएगा तो भक्ति ना जागृत हो तो बताना. तो ये है महाप्रसाद कि प्रभु से प्रेम करें और प्रभु का उच्चिष्ट खाएं. और फिर बाल गोपाल का क्या, तो बाल गोपाल कहें तो कोई खत्म नहीं कर पाए, तो बच्चा तो ऐसे ही आधा अधूरा छोड़ के माता पिता को दे देता है प्रसाद, तो वही कर रहा है गोपाल जी भी नटखट, तो थोड़ा खा लेता है, कहिए मैया मेरे को नहीं होगा अब आप खा लो, ठीक है गोपाल जी आपके खा लेंगे हम. फिर गर्मी हो तो कपड़े भी उनको एकदम आप स्लीवलेस पहना दीजिए, या कभी गोपाल जी हैं तो वो कोपिन में भी घूम सकते हैं घर में, ही कैन वॉक अराउंड इन कोपिन ऑल्सो. बहुत गर्मी हो तो वो भी ना, बच्चे हैं शोभा तो अधिक है वैसे. जगन्नाथ जी के लिए वैसे नहीं, वो तो भगवान है ऐश्वर्य भाव में, उनके लिए ऑर्नामेंट चलेगा अच्छे से चलेगा. गोपाल जी के लिए आप जो भी लगाते हैं शरीर में पहले देखें कहीं टोचे ना हो, कहीं उसमें पिन ना हो, लगा के देखिए जो आसन में आप बिठा रहे हैं उनको कहीं लग ना जाए, बस यही भाव से जैसे बच्चों के लिए देखते हैं मंजिल ठाकुर के लिए. घर में अगर 4 लोग हैं तो आपसे कहना है 5 हैं, बस. आप सबके बर्थडे मना रहे तो उनके बर्थडे मनेंगे, आपके लिए कपड़े सिला रहे हैं तो उनके लिए सिलाएंगे, आपको भूख लगी है तो उनको भूख लगी है. एनीथिंग दैट इज वेरी स्पाइसी गोपाल को ना दे, छोटे हैं. जगन्नाथ जी तो खा लेंगे वो तो. उनको तो अच्छा लगता है सब कुछ, गोपाल जी के लिए नहीं, उनकी मिठाई अधिक होती है और जितना वो पचा सकते हैं उतना है. उनको आप उनके सामने 5 रोटी नहीं रख सकते हैं, जगन्नाथ जी के सामने 5-6-10 रोटी भी रखे आप बनाए बस कोई बात नहीं, सब जो बनाए सब अर्पण कर दो एक एक करके, बलदेव जी भी हैं, सुभद्रा जी भी हैं, सब चार चार पांच पांच रोटी खा लें तो 15 रोटी तो वहीं चल गया, गोपाल जी नहीं खा पाएंगे, उनके लिए एक दो रोटी तो बस वहीं पर मैया बस हो गया, अब थोड़ा माखन मिश्री ले आओ। बस इसी भाव से प्रेम करना है और उनको अकेले नहीं छोड़ना, क्या करेगा बच्चा अकेला, पास में मैया यशोदा रख दीजिए या बलदाव रख दीजिए या कुछ मिरर रख दीजिए या आप पास में रहकर गीत सुनाइए, गोपाल को उन्हीं की लीला सुनाइए। तो ऐसे बहुत कुछ कर सकते हैं आप। राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर के कई सारे ड्रामास हैं, भक्तों ने अच्छे अच्छे ड्रामा किए हैं ऑन महाप्रकाश लीला एक्सेट्रा एक्सेट्रा, बहुत अच्छे अच्छे भक्तों द्वारा कई सारे अच्छे अच्छे ड्रामा है। गोपाल जी को कोई दोपहर को बिठा के ड्रामा दिखा दीजिए, बोर होगा उनको, लिटिल कृष्णा दिखा दीजिए उनको। जगन्नाथ जी के सामने ये नहीं होगा, वो भगवान है, वो तो सब जानते हैं, अंतर्यामी है, ही डजंट हैव टू सी एनी लिटिल कृष्णा, ही इज गॉड। गोपाल जी तो वो तो नहीं जानते ना, वो क्या जानते हैं, उनको बोर होगा तो उनको लगेगा कि कुछ देखना है, कहीं प्रोग्राम जा रहे हैं तो गोपाल जी ले जाइए, वो बाकी लोगों को देखेंगे तो फिर अच्छा लगेगा उनको। बस यही है, प्रेम ना हो प्रभु से तो बताना
जी। थैंक यू सो मच,
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर ब्यूटीफुल आंसर। नाउ कदंबा प्रिया माता जी, यू कैन गो अहेड योर क्वेश्चंस माता जी।
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, धन्यवाद प्रणाम प्रभु, हरे कृष्णा प्रभु। I just like the thing that you told, like people they think that when they're rich or when they are like this is like richness makes them successful, and but Prabhu, like I have seen like personally that people they sometimes they criticize or they try to say, oh, why you are giving so much time in bhakti, you should have done this, you can be successful in so many other way. And also Prabhu, I have seen like it happened with me personally, like this discrimination that I'm earning like decently for my family, but I'm giving time for bhakti as well. But there is another like person that, and he's successful, he's a government and big officer, so they are discriminating. So how to control, like how to absorb these things, and how can I face this challenge? Like sometimes I get criticism and then pride is totally crushed. So how to face and how can I overcome this?
Well, money is numbers and numbers are unlimited. So somebody who has 10 will feel inferiority complex from someone who has 100. And 100 will feel from 1,000, and 1,000 will feel from 10,000. 10,000 will feel from lakh. Lakh will feel from crore. And those who are having crores, they're fighting on who's going to become Arabpati and Kharabpati. The millionaires want to become billionaires, and 2 billionaires are fighting to become the first trillionaire. So this is foolishness. This is foolishness. Bhagavatam very clearly describes that this life is not meant for this. Very beautifully Bhagavatam has said, this is meant for Jijnyasu Shreyam Uttamam. Life is meant only for finding Krishna. Kamasya na indriya priti labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jijnyasa nartho yascheha karma bhi. Life is not meant for fighting with others on making more money. Life is about being satisfied with whatever we have, maintaining our family somehow, and finding more time for Krishna. This is what the essence is. And there will be tests. People will criticize. People will compare. People will give advice. And when the mind is not properly fixed on the basis of Shastra and Guru, then mind will also feel, kya, am I on the right path? Should I have become like him? You know, maybe I should have, maybe I invested too much time. This just shows lack of faith in Shastra and Guru. One should have a guru in one's life who will guide. And one should read Shastra to see what the perspective of the Shastra is. Million people will say million things, but what is the level of their consciousness that I should believe? They are eating meat and smoking and running behind women with uncontrolled senses, and their words I have to take seriously? No, I will take words of Vyasa and Shukadev seriously and Narada seriously, who have complete sense control on themselves. We should never worry. We should tolerate whatever honor, dishonor comes. We should live life simple and focus more time for Krishna. Don't worry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Nice answer. Now, Ruchika Mataji, you can go ahead, Mataji.
Sure. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhu, I was inspired by a lot of things you said. And the foremost one was that, you know, in those times also, a woman like Ganga Mata Goswaminiji, her decision to stay single was respected because of the purity of her devotion. After a while, you know, when she advanced in her spiritual life, I did not hear from you that, you know, she was asked that $1 million question, shadi kab karoge? So I also realized that, you know, once you, if you decide to transgress the rules that are given in the scriptures for you to advance spiritually, you are also subjected to some very tough tests. She was ready to pass, you know, all the tough tests that were given to her, and she chose the life of austerity over the life of comfort. If you are ready to be spiritually tested like that, then Krishna gives you the protection, like Krishna appeared in the dream of the king when she was wrongly imprisoned. So this just gave me a lot of hope, and it gives a hope to all the women who don't have any protection from the Lord, that, you know, if they are ready to surrender to their guru and be ready to pass all the tests, then Krishna will definitely protect them. So thank you so much, Prabhu. I just wanted to express my gratitude.
Krishna is ultimately the husband and protector for everyone, for male and female.
That's
The husband can claim to be the husband, but whom can he protect? He can't even protect himself. What can he protect? How can he protect? Life insurance doesn't protect. Kung Fu and karate doesn't protect. What protects? Only Krishna protects. So ultimately, we are all wives. And Krishna is the only husband, whether we are in a male form or we are in a female form. Ultimately, we are all protected by the protector, Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now, Anushka Mataji, can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I had a question that we have both. Once we come into devotion, we live two lives. One is spiritual life and one is material life. So I wanted to ask that how can we manage both of them? Because once we start to manage them, of course, the balance goes here and there. So I wanted to ask, how can we balance both of them?
There is no two lives. There's only one life. There's only spiritual life. Where is the material life? Tell me.
Like, Prabhuji, when we go, we meet two people who are non-devotees. Like,
correct.
That's something we get diverted from that devotional path.
So when you meet them, you should tell yourself they belong to Krishna. So it becomes spiritual. Always remember, make the closest connection to Krishna possible. Let's say, for example, you go, you have to meet, let's say there's a, you're working in an IT company and you have to meet big businessmen, and you have to meet clients and customers and whatnot. And you're talking to them. In your mind, you should be thinking that they also belong to Krishna, but somehow they don't know about it. Krishna, somehow their hearts should change. They have got this human form of life where only in the human form they can understand. In animal form, in tree forms, insect forms, they can understand. But in this human form, it's good that they're businessmen, but I wish they have a higher purpose in life. Just by you praying, that day will come when their lives will change. So again, it's not material. Material would be where you go and meet them and you forget Krishna and you become like them. That is material. So there is no material life. There's no question of balancing both, because there's only one life. In all circumstances, connect to Krishna. Wherever it is, whatever it is, even if you're meeting someone who's a non-devotee, well, they may be in a body of a non-devotee, but that soul belongs to Krishna as much as our soul belongs to Krishna. We as souls belong to Krishna, their souls belong to Krishna. Just the covering at the present may be in a non-devotee, like we would have been 10 lifetimes ago. Like 10 lifetimes ago, we would have been there and somebody else would have thought associating with us is material. But now, if they meet us, they will say, oh, associating with them is spiritual, is it not? Just think about it. When you get to meet a Vaishnavi or a Vaishnav, you say that's spiritual. But 10 lifetimes ago, if you would have got to meet them,
you would have said that's material. So this conception, that which is changing with time, is temporary, right? It's not right. But the true understanding is, they as the soul now are Vaishnavas, but they would have been non-devotee bodies, but they were still Vaishnavas 10 lifetimes ago. So the true understanding is, whomever we meet, they belong to Hari. They may or may not know. The moon may be half moon, or Amavasya, no moon. But there's no something, there's nothing called as half moon. There's nothing called as Amavasya moon. It's only full moon. There's only one moon. But it appears to be no moon. It appears to be half moon. Right? So similarly, there's only one. There's only bhaktas. There's only Vaishnavas. But they appear to be non-devotees. They appear to be Amavasya moon. So there's no material life. Even if we are amidst Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Surpanakha in Lanka, you can be like Vibhishan, completely Krishna conscious. Is that okay? So there's no question of balancing. We just take material life out and transform it into spiritual. Is that which is in connection with Krishna always remains in connection with Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for clearing my doubt. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now, Anjali Agarwal, Mataji, can go ahead, Mataji, your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Kandavatsana.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I have a question. It's a practical question, like we were just discussing in our group, that tomorrow we have to chant more number of rounds. So can it be begun at 3? Because someone was saying 3 is not yet Brahma Muhurt time, so it wouldn't be counted in that day.
chanting is always chanting. Uthite bashite khaite shuite jatha tatha namalo desh kal niyam nahi sarva siddhi hoy. So let's say someone says it is counted. So then you get it for tomorrow, correct? Let's say someone is saying it's not counted. Then you get it for today. So at the end of one's life, the total number of rounds still remains the same. Whether you count 6 as 3 plus 3, or you count it as 1 plus 5, or you count it as 4 plus 2, it still remains 6. Don't worry about it.
No, but practically, how do we do it now? So do we begin after 3:44, I think, is the Brahma Muhurt tomorrow.
You can chant even from 2 o'clock, no problem.
No problem.
Absolutely okay. No problem. Answer. You can chant anytime. You can chant from 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. No problem.
That would still be counted within Ekadashi.
Yes. Because if you see, answer, according to your place, the Tithi of Ekadashi would have already appeared. So no problem.
Okay. All right, Prabhuji. Thank you for clearing. There was a big debate on this, so thank you for making it clear.
There are different schools of thoughts. Some say Ekadashi is the... So when, let's say Ekadashi appears at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So some agree that day is Ekadashi because she has appeared that day. But some take it the next day. They take the definition as the Brahma Muhurta or the sunrise with Ekadashi. Because if, let's say, Ekadashi appears at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that day the sunrise was Dashami, not Ekadashi. But next day the sunrise would be with Ekadashi. So some take the next day and some take the day when Ekadashi appears. Either way, these are all different ways to get distracted. The main thing is to chant.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now, Parima Mataji, you can go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. What a wonderful, wonderful class. Please accept my humble obeisances to you and to everybody else on this call. Prabhuji, I had this one confusing thing. You were talking about the Laddu Gopal service and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra service. You know, you should treat them as personalities. But Prabhuji, there is one thing that always confuses me. For example, whenever I see fruits or anything, I always feel that, you know, I should offer it to my Krishna or my Gopal. But I want that those fruits should be sweet. At the same time, if I'm making cucumber raita, I want to make sure that the cucumber is not bitter. Because if I were to give it to my son, I would typically taste it. Not to gratify my senses, but to make sure that the cucumber is not bitter to make the raita bitter. But that is forbidden when we serve the deities or anybody, or Laddu Gopal or anything. So this becomes very confusing for me, you know, personally. So how do I take it?
So in many temples, even many senior Vaishnavas, they allow tasting little bit, not so much. Like, let's say if you have to offer something to Krishna, as you're talking about raita.
Hello?
Yes. Is my voice audible?
Prabhuji, this is somebody else. I don't know on the call. Oh, it's not me.
Sorry. And we will mute them. Sorry for that.
Okay. So I have personally heard many senior Vaishnavas also. They agree to taste little. That's fine. Because this is only to heighten Krishna's service. Not too much. Like, we have to be very careful, and especially this tasting should not be done by someone who's hungry, because he may end up tasting more than needed. A little bit for seva is okay. The aim again is so that there is better service for Krishna. We find even by the disciples of Shripad Ramanujacharya, they would test the bed before they offer it to Guru by sleeping on it to see if there are no thorns, no nails, nothing pricks. So this is affection, definitely. Especially in our home, little bit you can taste before you give it to Gopal. You want to make sure it's not very hot, it's not very spicy, it's not pungent, it's not bitter, right? So that's a very nice mood. You can taste little bit, and once you're convinced, you can just add. There are different ways people think also. Some, what they do is they keep sugar, salt, etc. on the plate only, separately. Like, Krishna, whatever you feel like, you can take. That is one mood. Some have this mood that I will not taste, I will just offer. And later, whatever comes of the offering, even if salt is less or salt is more, I will accept that because Krishna has accepted that. But I personally like the mood that why should Krishna accept something that has less salt or less more salt? Yes, we should accept what Krishna has accepted, but why should Krishna accept something that has more salt or less salt? So little bit you can taste, and if you feel the salt is less, you can add, or if you feel it's a little spicy, you can treat it little, taste it again a little bit and see, and if you're convinced, then offer it to Krishna. That's very nice mood, no problem.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a beautiful answer. Now, Pooja Deesh and Kapoor. Mataji, can go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Prabhuji, my question is, if the soul, intelligence and ego is inside the soul, mind, intelligence and ego is inside the soul, then when we are chanting, Prabhuji, why are the thoughts coming in our mind that don't chant? Should we tell the reason to mind, intelligence and ego that let me chant, though my free will is telling to chant? But this mind, intelligence and ego is telling somewhat the obstacle it is making. Can't I trespass it and directly chant? Should I give the reason every time when I'm chanting?
So some principles of Bhagavad Gita are broken here. So I really request Mataji to, if you can, study Bhagavad Gita properly. Mind, intelligence and ego are not in the soul. The soul is spiritual, part and parcel. It's only Keshagra Shata Bhagasya. It's 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. That's how small the soul is. But the soul is covered with the subtle body. It's not that mind, intelligence and ego are in the soul. The soul is covered by the subtle body, which has mind, intelligence and ego. And that is covered by the gross body of eyes and nose and ears that we can see. So that's point number one. Point number two, mind, intelligence and false ego doesn't give excuses. They're all three different personalities. Mind will give excuses, but intelligence will always guide. So every time we get a good thought that I think I should read Shastra, I think I should chant the holy name, that comes from the intelligence, who is our friend. And every time we get a thought, I don't want to chant, I think I want to go to sleep, that is coming from the mind, who is our enemy. So the battle between mind and intelligence is always going on. And to the extent one feeds the intelligence and starves the mind, to that extent one becomes a better devotee. And to the extent one feeds the mind and starves the intelligence, to that extent one will become distracted. So these are a couple of points from the Bhagavad Gita. Now, the mind will always say, don't chant, because When you chant, then the soul will go back to Krishna, and the mind doesn't want that. The mind wants the soul to be here. So you don't have to give any excuses. Just tell the mind, I will chant now. The chanting of the holy name is the most powerful process to get Krishna, and I've got this human form for that. I have not got this human form to listen to you, O mind. I have listened to you even in pig body and pigeon body. I don't need a human body to listen to the mind. I need a human body to listen to the soul, the super soul, as Bhagavan, and that is to chant. So automatically, instead of giving excuses to the mind and reasons to the mind, just continue performing bhakti. The mind will become purified and he will speak less. When the lion is very well fed, that's when he roars a lot. Just starve the lion. The lion will stop speaking. He'll become tired. So the mind at this moment is like a lion. It's roaring. So don't talk to the mind. Just neglect the mind. It will starve. Don't give it any food of discussion. Just feed the Krishna Bhakti bird inside. Let it fly out of the pigeon of cage of entanglements. Just don't worry. Don't, instead of giving excuses to the mind, just talk to Krishna. Instead of talking to Mana, talk to Manmohan, Madan Mohan, Krishna. Through chanting. Don't worry, the mind will automatically be controlled.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a nice answer. Prabhuji, I have one question, Prabhuji. I am very interesting to do Nijala Ekadasi, but when I'm doing, I'm taking fruits and vegetables, my voice is totally going down, Prabhuji. So could you please give any suggestion, Prabhuji? I can still do Nijala Ekadasi, how it's?
Well, everybody has a different psychophysical nature. Everybody has a different body, male, female, age. Somebody who's young, somebody who's middle-aged, somebody who's old, somebody who's a child. Everybody has different bodily structure and everybody has different capacity. We have to take up to that path by which our bhakti is not hampered. Let's say I'm doing nirjal and that is keeping me light and I'm able to speak and chant and dance and serve nicely. That's wonderful. But let's say I'm doing nirjal and that's making me weak and I feel like watching TV to kill time or let's go to sleep. It's 8 o'clock in the evening. Oh, another few hours for nirjal. Let me just go to sleep instead. And then when I wake up, you know, my nirjal vrat will be over. This is not first class. Better to take little warm water so that the body is hydrated. And then continue chanting, continue reading, continue hearing, serving the Vaishnavas, taking care of Tulsi, taking care of the deities. And if that is also difficult, then take little fruits. So in this way, there are different ranks. And we have to see where we fit. And the consideration is not tapasya, but the consideration is by which I can serve Krishna better. So you do what suits you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your answer. If no one have any questions, we can end the call here.
I think we
thank should. You so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya krupa sindhyeva cha patitanam pavanobhya vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a long question answer session. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Happy Ekadasi for you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for kindly participating.
Thank you, Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the prayers. Thank
you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All the full loving servants.